Okay, it is now 2:04 on July 13, 2021. And I'm now calling to order the Board of Directors meeting for the Georgetown Divide Public Utility District. For participants, you are reminded that this meeting is being recorded. So if you choose to speak, you will also be videotaped. If you do not wish to show yourself on the recording, then select the video off option from your Zoom screen. This meeting is being performed under the executive orders signed by Governor Newsom in March, which allows the board to meet via teleconference. There will be times when you take public comments. Please let us know if you want to speak by clicking under participants and using the raised hand feature. If you're on a phone, *9 raises your hand, *6 unmutes. At this time, I would ask everyone to remain muted and you will be given instructions on when we are taking public comments for each item and during public forums or hearings. If we can take a roll call, please, Gloria.
Sure. Director Thornborough.
Here.
Director McDonald.
Here.
Director Seaman.
Here.
Director Stewart.
Here.
Director Saunders.
Here. You're all present and accounted for. If Director McDonald can lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag,
of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which we stand, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty, and justice for all.
Item 2, adoption of the agenda. Is there any changes to the agenda items? Seeing none, if there is a motion.
So moved.
Excuse me, yes. There was a correction called to my attention with regard to the listing of the approval of minutes.
Yeah, we can change that through consent calendar.
Oh, okay.
So we can change the individual ones during their items, but this is to move the big items around.
Okay, thank you.
Right, so it was motion made to approve the agenda by Director Stewart.
I second.
Second by Director McDonald. Any public comments on this? Seeing none, if we could have a roll call vote, please, Gloria.
Director Thornborough.
Aye.
Director McDonald.
Aye.
Director Seaman.
Aye.
Director Stewart.
Aye.
Director Saunders.
Aye. The motion passes. Proclamations and presentations, there being none, we move to item 5, consent calendar. And I'd like to pull items A and B. And if there is any other directors would like to pull any items, that just leaves C.
Did we do public forum?
Oh, we should go to public forum. I skipped that. All right, public forum. Thanks for keeping me on track there, Mike. Public forum, if there's any public comments for items which are not on the agenda, we will entertain them now. Okay, seeing none.
No public brought comment. That up.
Of course, if we passed it, then there would have been a bunch that said, hey, I had comments for public comments.
President Saunders?
Yes.
I had a ratepayer wanted to attend this meeting, but to give a comment, should I give it in lieu of her, or how do we do that?
You could give it during your board report.
Sounds good. Okay.
Since you're not public. All right, seeing no other public comments, we'll go back to consent calendar. So I had pulled items A and B. Is there any one needing to pull item C? OK, Okay, seeing none, can I have a motion for accepting item 5C, authority to change of bank, authorizing the change of the bank authority?
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Director Stewart.
I second.
Second by Director McDonald. Any public comments? Seeing none, roll call vote please, Gloria.
Director Thornbrough.
Aye.
Director McDonald.
Aye.
Director Seaman.
Aye.
Director Stewart.
Aye.
Director Saunders.
Aye. The motion passes. We accept item 5C. Okay, approval of minutes. Item 5A. So the first thing, I'd like to make a correction in that one. I believe that was for the, we want to correct Daryl Creek's salary for the interim general manager. The number that was put in as a percentage was not correct. So we will go as it was initially presented on the first resolution and put it in dollars per hour. So the correction is Daryl Creek's salary as interim GM is $75 per hour is his compensation for his term as GM. And that will help with HR, and the public does not have to look up his salary and do calculations. The next correction is on the Adam Coyne's contract. That, well, we'll do that when we get to it. We can change that one again.
That one was a typo, right?
Yeah, that was a typo, but we could do that at his at the agreement.
Yeah, it should be noted as a clerical correction, is my point.
Mm-hmm. And was there any other corrections?
On which minutes are we working on?
That
right
is
now?
For the regular meeting, June 13th.
Right, June 13th. Let's see here. I do have some corrections.
It's actually the meeting of June the 8th.
Well, yeah, and that's the other
correction. That's the first correction.
And that's the other correction. That's
the 8th.
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's see. Working on, these are not chronological order. Okay, page 3. Maybe you already got this. It says the reference is made to the truck under the board then took agenda 9A to finance committee. It says the truck had less than 100 miles on it. That should be 100,000 miles.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So let's see what else. Oh, then on page 5. Under Director Stewart came back on the line at this period of meeting on that page. It says Director McDonald shared another situation with another when another customer informed him that she had been getting her bills for 6 months. So she was making estimate payments. What does that mean?
Yeah, so
that's either nonsensical or she was not getting her bills.
Yeah, so that should be not, had not been. So page 5, that should be a not.
And then on page 9.
I'm just making sure you guys are reading these minutes.
Yeah, well, we are.
Well, Jerry is.
Director Stewart. It's T. There is no Director Stewart. I know it's a technical item. Doesn't bother me emotionally or anything, but it's just not correct. All right. Got that? Okay, under page 10. Get back there. Towards the bottom of page 10, it says Nelson stated the state had lost patience with our last of enforcement of this requirement. I think it should be lack.
Lack, yes.
So that's a typographical error. And that's all I have on those.
Okay, thank you. Did you get all of those, Gloria?
I got it. Thank you.
Any other corrections from the board?
Now, are we have to approve each individual minute, right?
No, what we'll do is we'll do 5B, then we'll accept those two as a...
The two together, are you saying?
We will do 5A1 with the corrections and modifications. All right, seeing no further information for 5A1, if we could have a motion to accept the clerical corrections and other corrections.
Now that's just for the 8th?
Yes.
Are we just working on the 8th?
This is just for the regular meeting, June 8th, 5A1.
Okay. And I would move with those corrections, we approve the minutes.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
I believe Director Thornborough beat Director Seaman.
That's all right. She can have it.
Nope. All righty.
Okay.
Roll call vote, please.
All right. Director Thornborough.
Aye.
Director McDonald.
Aye.
Director Seaman.
Aye.
Director Stewart.
Aye.
Director Saunders.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, 5A2, special meeting of June 24th.
Okay, I have got a couple of corrections on that. On page 3.
Mm-hmm.
It says Director Stewart motioned to set reserves at 150 days, and it was seconded by Director Stewart. That's not possible. That's not legal anyway.
Okay.
So we got to make a change there. I don't know who seconded it though, but I think it was Mike Thornsberry. I think it was Mike.
Which Mike?
Thornsbro.
Close enough.
This is starting to get embarrassing for the board clerk.
Okay, we will change that one to Director Thornbro.
Okay. On page 4, under motion by Director Thornborough, and that will read, if you read that, staff to provide requested additional information with the understanding that the board will have the, and I don't know if it's important, but ability is misspelled. Unless there's a word ability.
That's okay, my name was misspelled too.
Oh my gosh.
So in that motion, we will change, we will correct Director Thornborough's name and ability.
Okay, and on page 5, under about halfway down, if you read where it says, Director McDonald stated he didn't know what to expect as a new board member and was hopeful relationships would be good. He said Mr. Nelson and the staff exceeded, and it's HS should be his HIS. It's just a typo.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't have a chance to have anyone proof my work.
That's okay, Glory. We're doing it.
I'm really embarrassed. I think I'm going to...
Oh, don't be embarrassed.
I'm going to think I'm going to retire again.
No.
You can't.
Just send it to Director Stewart for proofreading from now on.
All right, that's it. I've done my shot. I just want you to know I read the minutes. Right,
okay, that's the positive I'm going to walk away with.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
I'm done. I make a motion with those corrections. We approve the minutes.
All right. No, any other information from the board? Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Director Seaman seconds. I saw Mike was keeping his hand on the buzzer. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
I was waiting.
All right, Director Thornbrough.
Aye.
Director McDonald.
Aye.
Director Seaman.
Aye.
Director Stewart.
Aye.
Director Saunders.
Aye. Motion passes.
Woo!
Okay, that brings us to 5B. All right, 5B1, check report with descriptions. So I have some questions on, do we know what does a GeoCon consultants do? That might be Adam.
Yeah, GeoCon was part of the quality control for the parking lot. So when we brought that, we had that contingency cost in there for them to cover compaction testing, make sure it was done how it was scoped.
Okay, thank you. For the El Dorado County Sheriff's, did we have excessive false alarms for checking?
Yes.
I think I know who's to blame for that.
We had three.
I guess that was the ones when we were closing the office and they went off while we were still in. I know one of them that occurred.
That was just one. And one of our meter readers one morning did it.
Mm. All right.
Well, they gave us two calls for free and only charged us for one. So,
well, at least they're showing up. So that's a good thing. All right.
Obviously with an attitude, though.
Nathan Thomas Groundwater, check 32345. You know what that one's for?
That's for our consultant, those are our groundwater reports. Part of the state requirement for ALT is to have a geologist stamp the reports.
Yeah, okay.
And that's that portion. It's West Shore Consulting.
Yeah, that's the thing when the name changes and we can't follow up on that.
Yeah.
National Print and Promo, is that what we're using for billing? Or, you know what, that one, check number 32328?
That was likely the CCNR cards that went out. We send postcards to every single customer. That's probably likely what that was. We also use them for some of the ALT flyers, too.
Consumer Confidence Report. And then the Tyler contract, yeah, that covers everything with the modules and the consultants. Does that cover everything for this year?
Which?
Well, that was just a contract and PSAs, but yeah, we'll eventually be going over that again, but yeah, that's all I had on the check descriptions. Did anyone else have anything with the check descriptions?
I didn't get any of that financial stuff in my binder.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah, it was in the PDF. So the other thing is if any of the directors did not download it all, we can put it on for next month if no one was able to look at it.
I saw that part of it firsthand, so I'm not worried.
Yeah, I know you saw it, but if any of the directors would need to want to look at that before weighing in, we can put that on the agenda again for next month. Director Seaman?
On some of this, I had to go online and go through that financial report. And I came up with some questions and some questions that I've been asking for 2-3 months that never got resolved or details given. One was the office supplies, $5,500, $5,600, and $6,100. It totals to like $55,000. I don't know what you're doing, Mike, but boy, that looked crazy with all that paper flying.
I just moved the binder over.
So I was trying to, I think I've asked and asked and asked. So
I was going to discuss that during my GM report, but if we could do it now, if you want to.
Yeah, we can discuss it now since it's.
We can?
Yes.
Okay. As far as that goes, Director Seaman, we had, or Adam Brown here has been diving into that. He spent a significant amount of time. And most likely, not most likely, it looks like you're right. There's, we don't need that much money in there. And I want to work with Adam Coyen when he starts to do a budget amendment. Adam found several things that were being billed out of there that shouldn't have been, that should have been billed in other areas. So there's more money in there than there needs to be. If things just need to be coded correctly. And that was the main key. So we'll definitely be working with Adam Coyen when he starts to get a better number in there and do a budget amendment.
Yeah, the number projected for this next year's budget is 73, so it's gone up.
Yeah, we're going to lower it.
$20,000. And yep. if you could break down, like, okay, what's the billing, that big number? Like maybe, I don't know, those cards that went out, maybe that's part of it. What's that big number? Just so we have an idea of what you're, where these come from.
Absolutely.
And then I'm trying to get your dump truck, buddy. So I was looking at AT&T. There's 8 accounts for AT&T. And they range in costs from $67 to $1,100. But two of them have an area code of 234. I can see that we're paying for maybe, you know, the manager's cell phones, on call guy's cell phones or whatever. But there's 8 accounts and 1 internet account. And then I see that Verizon has a line item that says services, which is kind of a big number for cost. And then there's another one called PowerNet Long Distance. So that was you make me go through this, I'm gonna find something else that happened.
That's okay, the PowerNet is our long distance and we just went 2 weeks without it. Couldn't make a phone call out of the office because they messed it up. We've been using our cell phones to call customers, but it's finally fixed, finally got a hold of them. The AT&T lines are all landlines. They're not cell phones. They're for the treatment plants. I know ALT has several AT&T lines they're using for the not only the phone, but their the equipment, the...
Yeah, the talk.
Yeah, I can't think of what it's called right now, but the...
The data
the computer talks to the computers. Yeah. Where they do that for the on-call guys. And of course the other treatment plant has numbers, and then the office has a bunch of, I forget how many lines we have, 4 or 5 lines here. And then our internet here is also AT&T.
Okay.
And all the Verizon ones are cell phones. And also there's actually 2 more Verizon ones that aren't, because at Walton Lake treatment plant, we use a Verizon modem thing. That's how we talk to that computer. From the computer at home, because we couldn't get AT&T to do that up there with the internet, so we had to do a Verizon one.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
That's mine.
Any other directors? Director McDonald?
I don't have any.
Director Stewart?
No, nothing.
Director Thornborough? And the thank you for the expense details. It wasn't as perfect as we could have it, but it did give a lot of the overall cost, which where things were broken into several departments, when you could see what the actual cost of some of them are. It's helpful. All right. Seeing no other questions, is there any questions or comments from the public? Seeing none, can I have a motion to file and receive items 5B?
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Director Stewart.
I'll second it.
Second by Director Thornborough. Roll call vote, please, Gloria.
Director Thornborough.
Aye.
Director McDonald.
Aye.
Director Seaman.
Aye.
Director Stewart.
Aye.
Director Saunders.
Aye. Motion passes and we will file and receive those reports. Informational items. Item 6, board reports. Director Stewart.
I have no reports at this time.
Director Seaman.
None beyond the one you're going to give about the 4th of July.
Director Thornborough.
I attended the El Dorado County Water meeting last month, and all we basically did was go over an approved budget. Tomorrow's meeting has been canceled for this month. That's all I got.
Director McDonald.
Report.
Yep, you have a report.
What's that?
You were going to fill us in on your customer that wanted to give public comment?
I have some with the finance committee. Yeah. Okay, then I do. Customer wanted to know more about issues in the district and where she could get access to the board's accomplishments as we proceed along and to where they could take note of where they could gain a grasp of how to assess our performance and compare it going forward to know whether we're doing our what we committed to do and compare us to previous boards. And they just want to know how to gauge us, how to measure our performance, and wondered whether our Facebook page was something that's going to be maintained or some other format so that it's, if they can't attend the meetings like she can today, what's an easy way for the public to know, to find out, instead of having the candidates on social media during campaign season to find out what's going on. Okay. So she asked me to, if there's one stop shop and they could look up and get an idea. I know President Saunders, you have your own personal director's page.
Yep, as I say, the official source for all things GPUD is our website, gd-pud.org. So that's always the place to go. In the future, hopefully by, I won't give a date, but before the December 2022, that gives us plenty of time to get it finished, we will have the Granicus system up and running, and that will be able to record our board meetings, and it will be live, and it will also be recorded so people can also go back and watch the board meetings as well. We also, if you go to our webpage, all of our board meetings are recorded with Zoom, so they can either watch the Zoom recording or the, in the past ones, when it's not a Zoom recording, there's a MP3 file that they can listen to, and the minutes are there also. Eventually, I guess when our new GM comes in, we will have to have a discussion on social media and if we want to, how we're going to deal with that in terms of freeing up staff time so we can have dedicated people to help maintain social media presence and websites, because that's a job in and of itself, and it's, we're short staff, so we're putting a lot of pressure on the staff to do those. And we still don't have our Facebook page back, which is the evils of Facebook when they take down your website and don't realize it's a governmental site. So we will have to deal with that issue as well.
Yeah. Well, what came up, President Saunders, was, for instance, well, there's only a handful of people that are really interested in the behind the scenes, inside baseball, what's going on in the district. Yeah. Today, there might be 10 at the most. And for instance, it was on social media that this current board was responsible for selling the water in this drought season. And claims were made that it was the current board that voted to sell the water. And whether that was a good idea or not, the claims were made out there that we did that. And four of us of the five weren't even on the board then. So they'd like some one-stop shopping to, at a glance to see, oh, yeah, well, this board passed this last June. And, well, obviously it wasn't them. So just instead of having to go through the recordings and the videos and the notes and the minutes, you know, one-stop shopping is what they meant.
So. Yep, and on the website, you can go in. There's a search feature. You can type in water transfer, and it will bring up all of the appropriate documents, and they could look it up that way. I will. I do not see our Mountain Democrat reporter here, but Thomas Fry is our Mountain Democrat reporter, and I also let him know if he could add his articles on GPUD to the Georgetown Gazette as well, because once Dawn retired, we stopped getting information going to the Gazette, so we'll do that as well, and I will probably put an article in for the mid-year updates.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, I'm on my way back.
Thank you, I'm on the meeting.
Love you, bye. You're unmuted, Fran, so if you can mute yourself, Fran. Thank you. And so I'll send a mid-year report to the Mountain Democrat and Georgetown Gazette, since we've have some places to backfill. But that should cover that.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. My report. I will start with the report from the Water conservation groups. So these groups have been going on since 2018. The legislature asked the Department of Water Resources to come up with recommendations and guidelines for water conservation. These will be due at the end of this year. The work groups include wholesale water loss, water use studies, standards, methodologies, and performance measures, the UWMP guidebook, which is finished, annual water supply and demand assessment, data streamlining, landscape area measurement, and county drought advisory group. Those are the major ones. The ones I attended last month was on variances. All of the variances are through. So far, there are no standardized formulas yet on how to calculate or offset these variances for the water budget. Basically, the water conservation will come up with guidelines starting in 2022, which will give each district an indoor residential standard, outdoor residential standard, commercial, industrial, and institutional indoor and outdoor standards plus loss, and that'll be their water budget, and it will be offset on actuals. And the goal is to make sure your actuals meet what your standardized budgets are. And the downline of that will be eventually possible fines or other things to try and work on, making sure that each district's water use is equal to what their budget is for most efficient use of water per district. The outdoor standards set a factor of 0.70 for their irrigable and irrigated lands. So that's the percentage factor of what's using that would be allowed, plus what percentage of your lands are considered irrigable to go in for your outdoor residential standard. So these are all based on models for water efficient landscape use outdoors. And we are still in dispute of our land area assessment. So hopefully that number will go up to make sure we have a kind of reasonable start for our water budget. The Department of Water Resources released a public review draft for the results of the indoor residential water use studies. They will have a second public meeting. It will be on July 19th. I will put that information, I'll share with Gloria so she can put on the website. And you can attend that meeting if you have any comments or input to see what the indoor residential water standard would be. The meetings I attended was with the Environmental Protection Agency. They looked at the salinization of fresh water in the U.S. One of the main components that are playing a role is road salts during winter. So the road salts end up running off, going into streams and creeks, and eventually affects the ionization of our fresh water and can change the salinity. And another big component is all of our man-made structures. So all of our bridges, buildings, eventually as they wear down and corrode, all of that stuff breaks down into ionized particles, which gets into the water system and basically creates a cocktail. And over time, we can start losing our fresh water. So those are some of the things they are looking at. And that's why infrastructure and repairs is a big thing, which not only affects roads and bridges, but water. The district on June 4th, 1946 was formed, Georgetown Divide Public Utility District. This is our 75th year anniversary and one of our first celebrations. We attended the Garden Valley 4th of July celebration as the board of directors were there. And we had displays of the history of the district. Some people that were in that history showed up to also provide insights. So it was well attended and well met. And the 1940 water rates were, 30 cents was their monthly bill. So yeah, that's what we're running on next year. So the other thing is one customer wanted to send their thanks to the staff. They had just moved in and the staff called and greeted them and provided them with their water information. So they wanted to send their gratitude towards the staff. And then there were two customers that had some issues with pressure, which I will send to our operations and GM. And that's all I have for my board report. And that brings us to legislative report. We have a bunch of legislative updates. So yesterday, Governor Newsom signed the first part of the budget bill, SB 129. That bill contained provisional language for $100 million of one-time funding, which is available to provide fiscal relief to the independent special districts that have encountered unanticipated costs or loss of revenue due to the COVID-19 public health emergency. So that's one of the things I'll be discussing in the grant committee on how we can apply for some of that funding. There also is a budget trailer bill, the one that's most significant to us. It has not passed yet. They are still working on it, is AB 148. That is the trailer which includes the program for distributing just shy of $1 billion for water and wastewater arrearages. So this is for the debt that was obtained for during COVID-19. It also contains a drought relief language, and it also provides a system for water districts to provide customers with accrued arrearages during the COVID-19 pandemic bill period up to, I believe, non-payment for September 30, 2021. And that will create a program where they can enroll and get a payment plan to help stop any service disruption that can occur once the moratorium is lifted. So these funds are being allocated, and there is a program that will be in place that allows us to continue to maintain and collect those past bills. And that'll be important to think of down the line when we are talking about liens. Senator Dodd's bill, SB 556. The CSDA is one of the organizations that are opposing this one. This is a measure that wants to expedite the process of installing wireless broadband equipment on poles, streetlights, traffic signs, which are owned by cities, counties, or publicly owned utility districts. So this would kind of force the hand of putting stuff on the district's infrastructure and properties, and also probably affect the lease agreements that we have to get money for using that. So that's a huge reason why we're opposing that bill. And if they ask for any further signatures, that's one letting the board know beforehand so we can decide if that's something that you are for or against. So this is your time to discuss that now. Any discussion?
Right now.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Oh, I don't have
any. Anything on that, Director Thornbrough?
Well, I'm still weighing it in my head. I can see how it would affect the lease agreements. If we're forced to put this other stuff, you know, other people's stuff up there, then, you know, I really don't like the idea of it. I mean, if it's a revenue source, then maybe, but I don't like the idea of it because we don't know what they're putting up there. It could get in the way of our normal operations. I don't like it.
Yep. Yeah, we should always have the right of refusal and the right to acquire revenue for infrastructure we put in.
Well, tell them no.
Any other comments from the board?
I don't have any.
All right, public. So Mr. Dowd had his hand raised. Nope. All right, the next legislative item is AB 339. And there's a bunch of the bills going on now, which are for moving forward to have local governments have open and public meetings, which are run hybrid. So it has some form of a telephone or internet. So this would have right now some of them have a wording that it has to have at least 250,000 people in their membership to include. The ones that are being opposed are ones that have criminal liability if you do not meet with the intent to deprive the public of information. So I mean, some of that is being put in because places like us where internet isn't the greatest and having to enact a lot of systems with no financial coverage for this is kind of something that can't be done immediately. So those continue to be debated and we watch those. And that's the major legislative stuff I am looking at. And the other thing to add is I have my two interns are in the audience. So thanks for showing up and there'll be a quiz. So thanks for showing up and we will go over stuff in our policy discussion stuff. That's it for me. Any other questions from the board or staff?
Nope.
Seeing none. Any questions from the public? Seeing none. Okay, that brings us to GM report.
Okay, the GM report's going to be kind of small on my part, but we asked Jeff Meyer with Western Hydrologics to come in or to be on the meeting to discuss the water transfer to help maybe clarify some things and let everybody know what's happening. So I'll kind of maybe just give the floor over to Jeff. Are you there, Jeff?
Yeah. Hi, Daryl. Thank you.
Yeah.
It might be easiest if I could share my screen. Is that possible?
Yeah, I think Gloria should be able to make you a host to do
yeah,
that.
Gloria should be able to do that.
Okay.
Gloria, where are you?
She's working on it. She's on mute. You're on mute, Gloria. You're talking to yourself.
Hey, you're the host now, Jeff, so you'll be able to share a screen. Then once done, switch the host back to Gloria.
Are you all set? Oh, there we go.
I believe so. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So just to preface this a little bit, I've got this graph that I built, and I'll go over that. But to preface this, we entered into a refill agreement last year associated with the water transfer. And as you all know, we had a very dry winter. However, Stumpy Meadows filled beyond the limit set by the refill agreement. In other words, the capacity of Stumpy Meadows is 20,000 acre feet. Because we sold 2,000 acre feet of water, the new capacity for this year was 18,000 acre feet, unless Folsom spilled and the Delta went into excess conditions. Neither one of those things happened, so the limit for this year was 18,000 acre feet. Stumpy Meadows filled to 18,505 acre feet, which means that we've exceeded the capacity we were allowed to refill. It's not a violation of any kind, it's just that we need to repay Folsom Reservoir the water that they would have had we not done the transfer. And that's where I'm going to step into this graph a little bit to explain that. So what I have here, I know some people like words and some people like graphs, and so I'm hoping to cover both here. But if you have any questions, please stop me. Maximum storage at Stumpy Meadows is 20,000. That's this red dashed line across the top. And I'm using, right now I'm talking about, or using this y-axis here. This dashed blue line is where we would have been, in theory, without the transfer. And you can see that Stumpy Meadows would have come up to the maximum and then spilled for a number of days before it started returning being drawn down to meet things like demand and the minimum flow requirement below the diversion dam. This green line is the actual storage that we experienced through the spring and then up through, I've got this to the end of June. And so you can see that the actual storage actually crossed the 18,000 acre foot line. That's this y-axis. And that is represented by the blue line. And so we exceeded it by 505 acre feet. Had we had a spillway at 18,000 acre feet, all that water would have passed out and Folsom would have been whole. But in this case, we were storing that water, and we actually owe that water back to Folsom per the refill agreement. And this concept in the refill agreement is common among all refill agreements, PCWA, Forest Hill, El Dorado Irrigation District. They all had the same condition. And so what I've shown down here in this orange line is what the refill agreement calls a refill impact. And so now I'm working off of this secondary y-axis. And what it shows is we came up to 505 acre feet. We're looking now over here. And at that point, we identified that there was a refill impact. I have to fill out reports and submit those to DWR and the Bureau of Reclamation every month. They acknowledged that this was an impact. They acknowledged that the refill agreement says that we need to pay that back. And I started talking with Adam and with Daryl about how we do that. I've also tried to negotiate a little bit on Georgetown Divide's behalf on how we can pay that back on a schedule that is agreeable to DWR and the Bureau of Reclamation. I've sent several emails to them, and finally at 2:00 today, I got a response. In the meantime, Adam and Daryl and I talked about how this could be repaid. And since the minimum flow requirement is 4 CFS, we decided that a 4 CFS release would be adequate. until we heard back from DWR and the Bureau of Reclamation on a pattern that they were happy with. And the 4 CFS is a normal minimum flow requirement in most years. In this year, we get a little relief because it's dry, it's a dry year. And so the relief is that the requirement is only 2 CFS. So because we're releasing 2 CFS more than this year's requirement, we're actually paying back the debt that we owe without increasing our flow requirement beyond a normal year requirement. And so we decided to do that because it's sort of normal operations for GDPUD. And in the meantime, we were waiting for a response from DWR and the Bureau of Reclamation. The schedule that we laid out and proposed to them was this 2 CFS. They said that was fine. DWR agreed to it. The Bureau of Reclamation just replied to me, and they would like to see something a little bit higher than that so that the debt is repaid by Labor Day. And so just received that. They were hoping to get an additional 5 CFS. I haven't even talked to Adam or Daryl about that. Daryl may not have even seen the email yet. I know Adam did because he texted me. But this is a negotiating point that we can work on. But that's where we're at today. We have paid back probably by today about 100 acre feet. We still owe about 400 acre feet. I did a little calculation. I figured out that if we gave them 4 CFS, we could still pay that off by Labor Day. And so we haven't talked about it yet. It's not set in stone, but it's something we can still discuss and go back to the Bureau of Reclamation with a counteroffer. But that's where we're at today. Any questions?
I don't have any. Pretty clear.
So the feds wanted 5 more than the 2 we're already doing. Is that what you're saying?
No, one more.
No, what I'm saying is we're doing 2. They would like a total of 5, so that would increase it by 3.
Oh, okay. I thought you said 5 more.
Sorry, I may have misspoke. 5 total.
All right.
In addition to the 2 CFS required this year.
Any other? Director McDonald?
So I understand this through the official channels. A total of 2,000 acre feet cumulative over some duration of time is our total refill agreement, right?
2,000 is what we sold last year. 500 is what we owed this year because we overstored. We stored more than we should have. And so we need to pay back that 500.
And that's the end of our commitment, or what about next year when we pay back our 500?
So next year, I can't tell you what's going to happen, but we will be back to even again with still only allowing to store 18,000 until Folsom spills or there's a Delta excess per the agreement.
When does our commitment end?
We can refill the reservoir as soon as Folsom spills and the Delta is in excess.
I guess my question wasn't clear. So we sold the 2,000 acre feet, and that was contingent upon, or a requirement to do that was we had to keep providing them excess of 18,000 acre feet of storage, from what I heard, up to 2,000 total acre feet, however long that took. When are we as the end of our commitment that we don't have to give anybody any more water without having to sign a new agreement of excess capacity over 18,000 acre feet? And what is that maximum? I heard it was another 2,000 acre feet over 18,000 acre feet above and beyond the 2,000 acre feet we sold. So a total of 4 max.
Let me try explaining it a little bit differently. Last year, we sold 2,000 acre feet, which essentially creates a hole in Stumpy Meadows of 2,000 acre feet. Because we released an additional 2,000 that we would not have ordinarily released. So there's a hole of 2,000 acre feet in the reservoir. That hole can't be filled until certain conditions are met. And those conditions are Folsom needs to spill, go into flood control operations, and the delta needs to be in excess. Once that happens, we can fill that 2,000 acre feet and we no longer owe anybody any water. And so I don't have a date for you. It's a set of conditions that has to happen.
Okay. So I, up to this point, and I'm glad I asked the question, I heard that, or maybe I heard it wrong, but I heard at least twice that we sold 2,000 acre feet and we owe an additional 2,000 acre feet to Folsom of any amount over 18,000 acre feet until we paid 2,000 more acre feet back. So take 500 off 2,000. That means we owe 1,495 more over the next few years and then our obligation is over.
No, we don't owe any more other than this refill impact that we're trying to pay back because we overstored water. We stored more water than we were allowed to under the agreement.
So until there's that, until Folsom meets overflow stage and the Delta reaches their limit, we might have to repay every single year for 18,000 acre feet, whatever that is.
That's right. And that the theory behind that is that, you know, the graph I was showing you, there would have been water spilled out of Stumpy Meadows and arriving at Folsom without the transfer. And so that's water that Stumpy Meadows would not have been able to capture because it was in excess of the capacity of Stumpy Meadows. And so when we did this transfer and we created this 2,000 acre foot hole, anything that goes over 18,000 is water that would have been spilled had we not done the transfer.
So it would have been over 20 anyway.
Pardon?
It would have been over 20,000 acre feet if we hadn't sold the 2,000. It would have gone anyway.
That's right.
Hey, Jeff, if I understand this correctly, okay, so 18,505 is what we hit.
Yes.
So next year, it seems to me like we would have to go over 18,505. Not 18, because we already replaced, gave them 505 acre feet. So we filled 505 acre feet whole. So it'd have to hit anything above 18,505 that we would have to release. Is that true?
No.
No.
So we owe them 505, right, this year?
Yeah.
To bring it back down to 18. We stored water that would have spilled had we not done the transfer.
Right, right.
So they would have gotten that water.
Yeah.
And this is all about the injury rule. And I don't want to go into too much water rights detail and transfer. I don't want to complicate things. But essentially, they have been injured because we stored water that we would not have ordinarily stored. Does that make sense? So the 505 we stored, but had we not done the transfer, they would have gotten it because it would have spilled.
Right, right.
So yeah. Once we come back down to 18,000, nobody's impacted. Folsom's paid in full. We don't owe them any more. All we have to do is wait for that next spill event and then we can refill.
I see. So basically we're at 90% and we're not going to be any worse than 90% because
that's right.
We have a safety net of the 18,000. If we're less than or equal to, we're just 2,000 less than the 20,000 we could have had, but that's still the minimum.
That's right. You're right.
Okay.
And if we wanted to, Jeff, if we wanted to, not that we're going to, but another option would be next year as the lake, let's just say it's filling, but it doesn't look like it's screaming. It's kind of doing this year type of a thing. We're going off, you know, there's a drought, it's dry again. It's going to go over 18, but we know it's not going to spill. In theory, we could, instead of letting it go over 18, we could just keep it at 18 and we have the agreement met right there just by letting the excess go.
That's correct. You could do that. I wouldn't do that. You know, if I were turning the knobs on the reservoir, I wouldn't do that. I would capture everything I could and then wait to see what happens at Folsom. And if they don't spill, then I would release it, just like we're doing this year. If they do spill, I get to keep it. And so I would rather risk, I would rather err on the side of caution and keep that water than release it thinking that it's not going to spill and we're going to owe it to them.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And could that I, way you can.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Could you give a description of who you are? I'm relatively new on this, so I don't know.
Yes.
Who you are. Nothing personal.
Sorry. My name is Jeff Meyer. I have I the principal at Western Hydrologics consulting firm. I've been working with the district, I think since the early 2000s on stream gauging and various water rights efforts. I'm not sure how much you want to know about me, but I've got a degree in civil engineering from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. I'm a professional engineer. I've been in the business 31 years.
So you're our consultant.
I am your consultant, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, I'll go before going to Director Thornborough. So with this refill impact, if it is at 18,000 every year, that can have us giving back more than 2,000 acre feet. So what is the point in time when we start having an impact to GPUD when we're giving back more than we've transferred?
Is that, I'm sorry, Director Saunders, was that a question to me?
Yes.
Oh, so I don't really know how to answer that question. Let me think about how I can answer that. The impact that you're describing is, I think, your identifying that you're not being able to fill that 2,000 acre foot space that was caused by the transfer. Essentially, when, maybe think about it this way, when you've done a transfer, you've essentially reduced the capacity of your reservoir to 18,000 acre feet. So think of it as you now have less capacity in your reservoir until Folsom spills and the delta goes into excess. And so whenever you have water coming into the reservoir and it ends up filling to 18,000 acre feet, you can almost think of any excess water above 18,000 acre feet as spill water. And that just goes out as if the reservoir was completely full. And that's how DWR and the Bureau of Reclamation think about it. And so the way to be able to fill that space again is when Folsom goes into flood control operations and the delta goes into excess. That is the trigger to fulfill the obligation and refill your reservoir. And so I can't put a date on that. Folsom spills about 2/3 of the time. So your odds are pretty good that next year it'll spill. It may not, but more than likely it will. And so I think that's the best I can do for you at the moment.
Yeah, I understand. So I guess what happens with our water transfers puts a cap on Stumpy. So we pretty much are going to have to put in some, going forward, we have to have a water policy on transfers, because they said we could transfer up to 3,500 acre feet. And that would put a cap of Stumpy of 16,500, which puts us under our triggered urban water management plan. So we could never sell more than 3,000 acre feet, because that automatically puts us at our triggered urban water management plan. So we have to be very careful with selling out a Stumpy with a refill agreement. And so that's one of the things we're going to have to look at moving forward. Director Congro, we'll go back to you.
I thought I understood this, and now I'm totally confused. Are you saying that we could end up giving Folsom more than 2,000 acre feet?
I think there's confusion on the word transfer. Michael, did we sold water to another district, didn't we?
Yes.
And that's the transfer, isn't it?
So the water we sold is 2,000. What that does is it impacts Folsom by, if we don't spill, all of that excess water would have gone down to Folsom. So that's what Mr. Myers was talking about, that 2,000 hole. But what that does is it puts us on the hook every year we don't spill to provide that refill impact back. So if we're in a 5-year drought, 18,500, 500 goes down, 19,000, 1,000 goes down, 18,500, 500 goes down, 19,000, 1,000 goes down. If that's what I'm hearing correctly, that's
right.
Already 3,000 acre feet we would have refilled back after transferring only 2,000. So it seems at some point, is there an impact on GPUD as well?
My question was intended for Jeff Meyer. And my question is that worst case scenario, we could end up releasing more than 2,000 acre feet down to Folsom?
Because if we
have 2,000, we transfer 2,000, Folsom would have got, theoretically, would have got that 2,000. So the harm is that they need that 2,000. So if we give 505 or 500, whatever, I saw 567 somewhere. So once we give that 500, then we only owe 1,500 more. Is that not correct?
No, that's not correct.
No, that's not the way it works.
It's anything over the 20,000 that would have spilled anyway every year that they're not getting. So
18,000.
No, the 20. It's anything over the 20,000 that they would have gotten.
18, Mitch.
18. Well,
he's talking about before the transfer, before the refill agreement. Right.
So the sale was for 2,000 acre feet. And then this year, had we not sold it, some of that water would have gone over the spillway because there would have been 2,000 more acre feet there. So this year it was 505 acre feet, over 18,000, that we had to send down the way that we're doing this summer. That would have gone over the dam had we not sold the 2,000. So we just lost that 2,000 acre feet once, and this 505 acre feet that we're sending down now would have been gone anyway. So it's just a one-time 2,000 acre foot loss. Well, we sold it, but lost in capacity. So President Saunders is concerned about, there's a threshold there of 16,500 acre feet that we're getting awfully close to. And if we ever sell any more, we got to be cognizant of the fact of what we're doing right now. So it's 2,000 acre feet once sale, and then moving forward until it flows over at Folsom Dam. I was going to ask you, sir, is that A plus B equals C? So if there's an overflow at Folsom Dam, is that automatically assumed that the delta's in flood stage?
Not quite. The delta gets water from many sources, not just the American River. And so, although almost every time there is a flood release at Folsom, the delta is in excess. I think there's maybe two times in the history that doesn't happen, but almost every time.
Okay.
When delta's in flood control, when Folsom's in flood control, the delta's in excess.
So up to this meeting, I was thinking that for some reason thought there was just 2,000 sale and up to 2,000 additional. After this meeting, now I understand it's 2,000 for the sale, but then an unlimited amount until it overflows the dam, which would have been lost anyway, because it would have been over that 20,000 acre feet that would have gone over the top and we wouldn't have missed it anyway.
That's correct.
Okay, so I feel I feel not misled, but too bad we didn't know this a year ago when the previous board made this decision. Not that it was good or bad, but all of this information now, I think we're finally understanding. And now we have to explain it to our constituents who are going to see the water go down. It's hard enough for us to understand it now here. They're going to see the water go down every year and wonder why it's not, you know, we're giving it away. Not really, but we have to explain that to the customers now.
Well, I still don't understand it. I don't understand why we're having to give back more than 2,000. That's all they lost. If we wanted to do the transfer, then they would have seen 505 right. acre feet, right? If we That's didn't right. do the transfer. Since we did do the transfer, they didn't get their 505, so we're giving them that 505. And we got to keep doing that until we hit the 2,000. That was my understanding, and it was confirmed by our interim general manager, not Daryl, the one before him. So I'm at a total loss. I just don't get it.
Can I say something just for a minute? In the first place, the water doesn't belong to us, it belongs to the state, right? I mean, all the water belongs to the king, just as theory. But we're allowed to capture 20,000 acre feet, which theoretically we need. Now, if we're able to sell 2,000 or 3,000 acre feet, it means we don't need the water. We're selling it, we're transferring it. And if the government looks at that, then we can survive on 18,000 or less. And therefore, for ad infinitum, until we get another flood condition, we're going to have to survive on 18,000 acre feet because we don't need the other 2,000. We proved it by transferring it. Does that make sense? Am I right on that? It's not a contract where we can pay it back and okay, we get our 2,000 back. It goes out until the point where the other areas spill and we can then get back to the 20,000 acre feet. But if we sell 2,000 acre feet again, we're going to drop back down to the 1,800 ad infinitum.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
It's just that
if we look at it, we don't need that 2,000 acre feet because we're selling it.
Yep, and that's
where they said it.
We didn't have that clarity last year. So last year the understanding was 2,000 would be the maximum impact on GPUD that we would have to refill back. And this sounds like there is no limit until those conditions are met.
Well, as Jeffrey said, if I heard him right, until Folsom spills and doesn't need any water, then we're going to be stuck with 18,000 as our level.
Yes.
And, no matter how much, and anything over that, we're going to have to transfer, or not transfer, but let spill to Folsom because it belongs to them. We don't need it.
And it would have spilled anyway over 20,000, after we sold the 2,000. So we would have lost that water anyway. So we're just down a total of 2,000 altogether.
That's right.
And
that's
apparently right. We don't need that 2,000 because last year the board decided we didn't need it.
Right.
And we should get it repaid within a couple of years and then we'll be even again.
Well, no, there is no even until we spill. So that's what it's saying.
That's
there
right.
is no cap onto how much we give back.
It's not like a mortgage or something where you can pay it off. We get it back when it spills.
When
we can spend it again. But if we sell 3,000 feet, be aware that they'll probably, and Mr. Meyer, correct me if I'm wrong, but they will then again set 1,700 or 17,000 acre feet as our ceiling.
That's right.
Are you correct in that?
That is correct.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, my turn.
All right. I'm done.
Anyway, what I was wanting to ask was, so if we have umpty irrigation customers that want water and say that hypothetically next year we push to sell our water and keep that below 18,000 acre feet so it never goes over. Say we have a dry year, it starts rising and it, we keep it down. We don't have to give them anything, correct?
18,000 is the cap.
Yeah, it's just anything over 18,000.
Step. I'm talking to our consultant here.
Sure.
So that's, as long as we can keep selling our water and generate revenue and keep Stumpy at an 18,000 level until we have a major flood where everybody gets their water, we don't have to give any more water to Folsom.
Only, yes, that's right.
Okay. So then we need to actually start looking at our water usage at a early on number in the year to decide where we can go so we get the best benefit of that water where it just doesn't at 18,000 go over to Folsom.
That's correct.
I mean, it may be a hard one to catch, but.
Well, you should probably do that every year when you do your planning for the year. But yes, at 18,000, your policy says you still make full deliveries. And I don't, being a water resources manager myself, I don't see this as a big deal. You look at where you're at, you've made full deliveries. You're whole. The storage didn't come up to full. I understand that. And maybe that's the issue here. But you were able to satisfy everyone's needs throughout the summer. I'm sure you will be able to. So the only issue here is whether you're going to refill next year or not. And that's always the case when you follow a transfer like this.
Okay. Because, you know, what I'm seeing is there's an ultimate, like, cap of what we can have for water users, you know, plus this other. For if any reason we start getting, you know, we get that good snowpack and it runs off and we have to pay back all that much, but we have a dry summer, we could actually, if we had too many users, we could actually go into a drought condition and have to go into some kind of a rationing. That's my fear of seeing this water. You know, we have a level that say we try to get more income by more water going down Stumpy or going down, you know, to irrigation, or somebody wants to build and put in more tanks or whatever. Then we're actually looking at restricting us as a district is an overall issue, not the the whole fact of, you know, just letting this water run free. So it's more of a management of water that we have to look at now because of this.
And we
do. Yeah.
And we do that every year. We make that decision in second week of April.
Yep, and we will actually be making it more than the second week because the water assessment is going to require us to probably do it three times. So that's one of the things we're going to work on, where we'll be looking at the water levels three times before we make that decision.
Well, so far, that's not policy.
It will be.
Yeah. It is yet.
It's from the state, so.
Right. Well, yeah. They have it. I know. Well, anytime the state gives us orders, which we haven't got any yet, we'll follow them.
Director Tongra?
Okay, so did I understand correctly? So far, we've released 100 acre feet, and we still have 405 to go for this year?
Approximately. I'm guessing I didn't update the numbers through today, but that's about right.
Okay, when did we start releasing that? And it's at two, you said it's at two CFS?
Right now it's at two, I believe. Is that right, Adam?
Yeah, right now. Yeah.
And we've just gotten a request from the Bureau of Reclamation to increase that a little bit so that they have all the water paid back by Labor Day.
The 505.
Correct.
And when did we start releasing this?
Yeah, you know, with our operations, irrigation season started, you know, it was probably April, May in that time period. We were over, you know, the limit, the minimum release requirement. It's been going for some time.
It's April.
Okay.
President Saunders?
Yes, Director McDonald?
Yeah, just one more question. So where was that trigger point of drought level? Is it 1600, 16.5 or 17?
17.
So the biggest risk I see is my final comment. Instead of having a 1,000 acre feet buffer between drought level stage and 18, which is our level now with which we have to give back water, we lost 2/3 of our buffer potentially from 20,000 to 17 versus 18 to 17. So until we, you know, if we have a couple of drought years, we could be in a sticky wicket, you know. So that's the biggest concern I have until we get some Loon Lake option back up or something down the road. But so I see that as the biggest risk is we have a 1,000 acre foot buffer instead of a 3. Anything else, we just lost 2,000 acre feet once and the flow would have gone over the top anyway. So,
well, not necessarily, because if we fill at 17 next year, that's below 18. So that's at an impact, which is below already. So it doesn't really carry over year to year, but where it does carry over is the cap. So you want to make policy that gives you a safe cap.
Yeah. Okay. A safe cap. Right. Like
we would believe we have.
Yeah.
Yes. Directors, any other directors with comments? My only comment would be just with, I know 4 CFS is the normal, just to make sure once we go, if they want to go over that, to make sure it's not impacting any of the downstream requirements, because they usually make sure we're not doing too much warming or anything like that with the impact. So those are the things to check as well as we increase above 2, since we'd be one of the few ones at that rate. Director Thornbrough?
I believe that the original refill agreement that I saw said there was a limit of this can only go on for 4 years. Is that not the case?
No, that's as I recall, that's not in the refill agreement. There's no time limit.
Thank you.
Any other directors? Seeing none, we'll open to public comment. I see Mr. Dowd has his hand up.
Yes, President Saunders. Who was the director, who was the consultant last year that gave a speech before you guys voted on this, the directors voted for the transfer? Do you remember, was it Jeffrey Myers last year?
It was.
Yeah. Now I understood him perfectly last year, but he really clarified today everything. I mean, you did a great job last year. I understood it, and we had questions, and we thought we had it all ironed out. But I guess some people didn't understand. I have two questions. One is, now you said that we've already released 100 acre feet. And why is the lake at the level it's at now when last year, that's Sheree calling back. Hey, Sheree,
yeah.
We're on. So why released 100 acre feet. Right now, the water level is just feet above where the transfer ended last September. Last September, after the transfer ended, I went up there, took pictures. It's just feet above where it ended last year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, when the transfer started in August, the water level was at the bottom of the spillway. Bottom of the spillway, it was still touching the spillway. And now it's way out past, and it's only July 13th today. And a lot of water's gone from that lake. And I assume that we're still using the same amount of irrigation and the same amount of treated water to the customers out here. Where's that 100 acres? I mean, there's more than 100 acres gone from that lake.
So you have the transfer, the 2,000 acres for the transfer. On top of that, you have your irrigation demands that you're meeting. And of course, the minimum flow requirement. And so that's where it is.
Yeah, but last year in August, the water level was at the bottom of the spillway, right? August.
And we almost spilled this year.
We almost spilled this year. I was up there. I took pictures and measured and all that kind of stuff. Now we are out past the booms. We are almost to the same level as the end of the transfer in end of September. It's getting close. We just got a few feet to go.
Last year we did spill.
Let's get all the public comments first before going back.
Yes. Last year we spilled. This year we came close to spilling. It was up near the top, but it did not spill. And then and last year when the transfer took place in the end of August, I know because I went up there with a former board member, and we had a quadcopter, and we took pictures and measured and all that kind of stuff. We did it in August, and then we went back up there after the transfer was over in the end of September and took more pictures. So I know I was involved. And right now, that water level now in July 13th is getting almost to the point where the end of the transfer was in September of last year after we transferred 2,000 acre feet. Now, if we've already given them 100 feet, where's it gone? I mean, we've given more than 100 feet because everybody's using the same amount of water, all the treated customers and all the irrigation customers. We're all still using the same amount of water, but that water's going somewhere.
This is a very easy answer, if I could just answer this real quick. Yep, last year the lake spilled all the way through May. This year it never spilled. We had a lot more water coming into the lake as the transfer and as we were using water. The streams were still flowing strong, keeping the lake full. In August of last year, we ended the month at 16,200 acre feet, which is more than we have in the lake right now. And because we started out with less water and we have far less water coming into the lake this year, it's not keeping it full, so it's dropping faster than it did last year. Simple as that.
Well, as simple as that, the water's almost down to the level where the transfer ended last year. We're getting close.
Exactly. It's lower than it was last year. It's at 76%. The lake is 76% full today.
Okay. Yeah.
You have anything else, Mr. Dabb? Does Cherie have something? Yep, Cherie.
Yeah, Cherie's got a question.
Yeah, I have a question. It shows in your report that treated water is 814 acre feet. How much equivalent we used last year in comparison?
Yeah, we'll go over that in the water usage report, but it has increased. So we've increased in our water usage from treated, and we've also are in a drought. So as you can see, we have much less coming into Stumpy this year than we had last year. Yeah. Those are the two things that are equating.
I figured out we've got 1,621 acre feet less than last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we've used that much more water.
Started out with less.
Yeah, we started with less.
And took into account the 2,000 and everything, and I went back to the reports as of the date I did that calculation to the year, last year's total. So you're saying that more water was going in last year than it is this year, coming into the lake?
Yes.
Yes, quite a bit more.
It's two. Okay.
And we'll discuss this also at the end of the meeting when we discuss the drought conditions and look at what happened Stumpy historically and last year and go into that in more detail as well.
Oh, we are? Okay.
Yep. Any other questions?
John Duarte has his hand up.
Who's that?
Yeah. John Duarte has a question.
John, okay.
Hello, the board. Thank you. Am I on the floor?
Yes.
You are.
Thank you. I'm not generally opposed to an annual water sale. but on these terms and this arrangement, I don't think we can look at this in the future very favorably. Stumpy Meadows fills, as you've just discussed, almost every year. It's an odd thing when Stumpy Meadows doesn't fill, and it's you know, over half the time it's spilling through April or May because of snowmelt. So by the time the Delta's impacted and Folsom's flooded over, that could be once every 5 years. It could be once in 10 years. We don't know. I'm sure there's a pattern we can look at, but it's far, far more rare than the frequency of Stumpy overflowing. And so when Stumpy overflows, we should reset the volume then at 20,000 acre feet capacity. What's going to happen now is we gave up 2,000 acre feet once, got paid for it. We could give up 2,000 acre feet off our capacity for the next 4 or 5 years each year and not get paid a nickel for it. So we're actually going to give up something far more than 2,000 acre feet. And we only got paid once. So this is a very bad arrangement. And I think we have to keep that in mind for any future sales. Again, I'm not against a one-year water sale. I realize the district's got financial needs and a lot of reserve accounts to replenish that you guys are working at. And I'm glad to hear the financial management questions coming out of the board. But this was not a good deal. With no principled objection to water sales in of themselves, having to keep Stumpy 2,000 acre feet emptier every year until Folsom comes over is going to cost the district severely. And that's all my comments. I'll have some more when it comes to water use part of the discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Duarte.
Thank you, the board.
Any other public comments? Seeing none, thank you, Jeff. We have 4 new board members that weren't here last year for it, so that was another part of the reason why I had you come back to clarify that as well and kind of make it crystal clear so everybody knows going forward how the refill agreement works. And this way we know what we're going to do in going forward, making good policies to deal with the water transfer and keep in line with our urban water management plan as well.
Understood, and thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay, that brings us to operations report. Okay.
Operations, switch hats. All right, well, kind of a lot of what we just talked about. when I did this, it was 79% full. Today, it's 76% full. And as Cherie mentioned, I have in my notes here, we sold 814 acre feet so far this year as of July 1st. Last year, as of July 1st, we sold 738 acre feet. So 70 acre feet more-ish this year than last, which is common in dry years. People use more water. But 814 acre feet is still a drop in the bucket out of that lake. So that's why we're still looking good as far as that goes. And my notes here too, if you read them, the request for bids went out for the ALT, the old ALT treatment plant demolition. We got them all back. We're working right now, with the bids. We're working with Barbara to find out. We may have to eliminate a bid for certain reasons. So next board meeting, I will have a contract to bring back to you, to the board, to be approved for the demolition. So that's a good thing. We need to get that out of there. And everybody in the field's been doing good. There was 12 leaks last month, 9 after hours call outs. But everything else is going pretty good as far as everything out there. We made 69 million gallons. We produced 69 million gallons out of the treatment plants in June. Does anybody have any questions?
Board members with questions? Yep, and we're still doing pretty good compared to other water districts in Northern California. I know some of our sister districts have outages already where they are bringing bottled water in that they're trucking, and other places they've had to cut irrigation down to 50%. So we are still doing quite well at a district.
Yeah, fortunately, like I learned, I think I talked to Director Saunders yesterday, that we were the only district in the area where our water supply filled up full enough to have a normal year. All of our, everyone around us didn't make it.
All right, seeing no director comments. Mr. Dowd, public comments is open now.
Yes, thanks, Daryl, for being there. Hey, I got two questions. One is, I noticed when I was up there on the 10th of July, driving all the way from Blodgett Forest to Stumpy and beyond, that they've been spraying poison and killing a lot of the trees on the edges of the road. And then on the east end of Stumpy, there's a warning sign. I got a picture of it, a yellow placard, and it says, notice, warning that they've been spraying. And you can see the lake right down below at the east end where the Pilot Creek comes in. Does that spraying affect our water, the water content?
That's a good question, because it was an issue for me too. But this actually happens every year. It's been happening extensively since the King Fire hit. This is nothing new. And so far, because we sample that lake every year for surfactants, but glyphosate, you know, all the chemicals. And so far we've had zero in the water. We've never even had a trace.
Who's doing the spraying?
Yeah, who's doing the spraying?
The feds do a lot of it. The feds have been doing it lately. And of course, SBI.
Well, they're doing a horrible job because they're killing all the trees on the side of the road. It looks horrible. All the way up to Hartley.
It does look bad. Those trees shouldn't exist. They shouldn't even be on the side of the road.
Well, that's why they got to hire loggers like I used to do and cut them down. Hey, another question. Another question, Daryl. Heading up to the lake on Saturday, right past Volcanoville turnoff, there's a little ditch running alongside the road on the left-hand side going up the hill, Tunnel Hill, to Quintet. There was a bunch of water running down it, and I was kind of wondering what the heck was going on. And on the way down, I had my wife film it with her video camera, and we filmed it, and there was people sitting down there. They're right alongside the edge. They had a bush hog down there, and we tried to talk to them, but they couldn't hear because the water was roaring so much. Where's that water coming from? Should it have been going through the hydroelectric plant off the ditch at the top?
You're exactly right. What happened is when the power went out on Saturday for Garden Valley, it was also out up country. And when the hydro shuts down, it automatically bypasses the hydro around the ditch you were seeing and goes all the way around. That's our bypass ditch around the hydro and pops right back in our canal again.
Oh, really? Okay. So it didn't go into Timbuktu and down the south fork of the American River?
No, we collect it. It goes right back into our ditch again.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I was wondering. What? We lost the hydropower
for about six to eight hours that day. Hydro was not running. The hydro does not run when PG&E goes down.
So there's no solar on it?
You cannot put power into lines while PG&E is out there trying to fix them.
No, right. But if we don't have solar backup on the hydro plant, is that such a thing?
No, that's kind of irrelevant. When the PG&E power goes out, you have to shut the hydro plant off. Because the hydro plant is, it's generating electricity.
Right, yeah, right.
Any other questions, Sheree?
No, I'm done.
Thank you, Daryl.
Thank you.
Bring it back to the board. Any other questions from the public? Seeing none.
Yeah, no, my hand's up. I'm sorry, this is John Bordy again.
There you go, yeah.
Sorry. Thank you. Is this the part of the meeting we should discuss the irrigation season and possible curtailment?
There will be no curtailment of irrigation. We've already
As a public comment, I would encourage the board to look at the 14-15 drought and the reservoir levels going into 2015 at the end of 2014 season. And if we're starting to look like the end of 14 again, I really, in 2015, we had to cut off service to irrigation customers August 1st. And that was much more impactful than having two seasons where we cut off service September 1st, at least from my point of view as a grape grower. So I'm actually a farmer telling the board, please consider curtailment if the reservoir is getting down lower or as low as we were in 2014.
So, Mr. Duarte, I will ask you to reserve those comments till we have an agenda item where we're going to talk about drought impacts and any...
I'm sorry. I was asking if this is part of the meeting or not.
Yep, no, okay. Yep, we got
I'll, that. I'll certainly park that.
That's going to be agenda item G. So we got a while to go. So I will...
I'll wait.
I'll let you know when that's coming up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Duarte. Any other public comments? Okay, seeing none. That brings us to the water resources report.
Yeah, I just have the zone report. There's nothing out of the ordinary. It's pretty busy with escrow inspections and follow-up escrow inspections. That's keeping the inspector busy out there and then staying on top of the normal day-to-day operations. But you're doing a good job keeping on top of that. Our flow looks similar to other times in past years, so we don't see any anomalies there either. Also wanted to give a quick update on the meter project. Working with the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, trying to get everything set up for our grant, hoping to have that all done. I was surprised there's a lot of different agencies you need to work with just to, you know, get that set up. So there's a lot of paperwork we're doing on the backside of that. Hopefully the RFP is going to be going out this week to, you know, get bids for that project. So just letting you know we're moving forward and we getting that all set up, you know, have a contractor selected or bring to the board probably September, I would think.
Can we see the RFP before it goes out, Adam? Can the board see the RFP before it goes out?
I think we'd keep on schedule. I think we'll get it out. We can, you know, it's definitely there. I think we need to, get that out so we can get a contractor selected. I think that would delay the process and we need to.
Now I'm requesting that you send it to the board to look at before we send out. So just send it to us via email.
Well, once it's complete, we can send it to you, but most likely it's still going out at the same time.
Yeah, we just want to make sure there's that stuff that we talked about being put in there that was in the RFP.
Yeah. Coastone is putting the RFP together for us.
Yep, still would like the board to see it.
That's fine. We can send it to you. But I don't want to delay this project. It's been delayed for years.
Well, a weak RFP is not going to, that's not going to be a significant.
Well, I hope you don't think that was put that it's a weak one. We'd like to think it was done very well.
No, I said
very well.
I said if it's a week delay in the RFP, that's not going to be.
We could probably just, I'm assuming we could give it to you absolutely soon and we won't delay it at all.
Exactly.
We can look at it. Mm-hmm. We can just give you whatever we have.
Yeah, that's.
And just blind CC, you know, the board.
Yep, thank you. Any other board?
The only reason I was acting odd about that is because staff does put these together. It is our job to do this. It's not a board's job. And it's kind of frustrating when we do this, we do all this work and want to, and this is requested. It's just a little frustrating.
Yeah, this was something requested at the beginning of the RFP process to probably even 2 years ago to make sure we had certain things built in for testing and things like that. Director Seaman?
I have a couple questions for Adam. What is your SSO trigger that where you electronically submit? How many gallons? Estimated gallons?
So it's required every month to do a no spill certification. If we exceed our 71,000 gallons, then that would require like a spill report. But this is a no spill certification that we did not spill.
So there's been no sanitary sewer overflows to the district knowledge at all. And that's what you're submitting.
In history? For that month. For the previous month.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Not
thank
in history.
You. Yeah.
Any other director comments? Director Thornbrough? Seeing none. Director McDonald?
No.
Director Seaman?
And just to respond to Daryl, the only reason we're asking for this is sort of like what I did for the office information. It's trying to catch any little thing to make us better. We want you to be perfect.
I like that. I mean, I like that attitude. You know, I totally get it.
Thank you.
Seeing no more director comments, we'll bring it to the
public. I don't have anything.
Okay, bring it to the public. Public comments. Seeing none. Committee reports. I see no one from the Finance Committee made it on, but Mr. Miller let me know that there was no Finance Committee report since they did not meet yet. So,
Director Saunders?
Yep.
Director Miller, Finance Committee, asked Finance Committee member Andy Fisher to speak on his behalf, but he also had an emergency.
Yes.
So, what I got here is Chairman Miller is compiling a short and long-term budget questions from the Finance Committee after the Finance Committee's review of the budget. So he's compiling a list of long and short-term questions. That's what's going on.
Yep. Thank you. Next committee would be the Ad Hoc Grant Writing Committee. We will be scheduling a time to meet this month and trying to schedule a time when our new GM will be able to attend as well, as we will be going over a lot of the information for the COVID relief package from the US national government and from the California state government and things we will have to do for the county. So we'll be going over those information and the details and collections that staff may need to maintain and acquire so we can have the best chance of getting any funding towards us. That's all I have for the grant committee. Ad hoc finance committee policy, we're hoping to have that brought up next month. So if you guys have anything to report.
I don't.
And
Much the same way we reported last month.
Yep. If we just have to find time to fill it in, it's been a lot of busy stuff. So we'll try and have that in for August. Nothing for the ad hoc policy manuals, but there is a bunch of policies that are online to be worked on. Ad hoc committee for special audit, that will start when Adam comes in as well, the new RGM. That ends up for committee reports. Any board questions, directors?
None. Me.
Public? Seeing none from the public, we will go to new business. Item 8A, to affirm the employment agreement for the general manager. So I will start off by a clerical correction from the original contract. The dollar sign was a $4,000, so the contract is for $155,000 and not $4,155,000. So. That would be a great contract. That would be a great
I tried, Adam.
The contract itself is correct.
Yeah, the contract is fine. It was just on the
resolution.
Could have been the
okay.
Shift 4.
Yes. All righty. So pretty much what we reported out was the employment agreement between GPUD and Adam Coyen. The board voted 5-0 to approve an annual salary of $155,000, CalPERS retirement of 2% at 55, deferred compensation of 5% of base salary per year, annual vacation leave of 120 hours, and administrative leave of 40 hours per year. And we will be updating and amending our budget, but it was already budgeted in the interim fiscal year 2021 budget. And is there anything else staff would like to add?
I have nothing.
Okay, seeing none, I will see if Mr. Coyen has anything he would like to add or provide.
No, I'm good, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Welcome to DuPont, and we look forward to seeing you in August. Okay, Director Stewart?
Do you need a motion on that one, or?
Motion to affirm the contract.
Yeah, I would like to make that motion.
There a second?
Resolution 2021, affirming the contract with the general manager.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Can we get public comment?
Director McDonald gets the second, and then we will go to the public before voting. Is there any public comments? Seeing none, do you see any hands up from the phone people, Gloria?
No, I don't.
Seeing none, we will bring it back to the board for a vote. A roll call vote, please, Gloria.
Sure. Director Thornborough.
Aye.
Director McDonald.
Aye.
Director Seaman.
Aye.
Director Stewart.
Aye.
Director Saunders.
Aye. The motion passes 5-0 in affirmation of the employment contract for our new general manager. And we look forward to seeing him in August the 2nd.
Agreed.
Still have you for another month, Daryl. Okay, item 8B, to introduce the ordinance 2021 certification of the annual direct charges, fees, and assessments. And if staff wants to lead off on this.
Okay. I'll just read some of it just to be clear. I guess the El Dorado County Auditor Controller notified the district that the deadline for submitting the required documents to be placed in the related charges in the county's secured tax roll bills is August 10th this year, which is different. Last couple of years have been August 31st. We can go more into that in a moment, but the notice, which is an attachment one from the auditor controller, provides a checklist of items to be delivered to the auditor's office by the deadline. So the adoption of this ordinance is part of the process. This is the first reading of the ordinance 2021-01, which is attachment two, to allow the district to place a lien on the property of customers with delinquent balances as of June 30th, 2021, and to place the annual charges for the district assessment districts. There's a preliminary list of delinquent customers as of June 30, 2021 is included in the ordinance. One thing I'll say before I go too farther is people are still paying. Even since we made this agenda item last week, about 10 customers have paid it off. So the list is evolving and changing as we go, just so you know. And we have 5 people on a payment plan, and four others wanted to be on it. We sent them the paperwork, have called them several times, but they've been non-responsive. So I guess they're not going to be on it. But so we're moving forward currently. Following the first reading of the ordinance 2021, a legal notice will be published in the newspaper with an updated list of the delinquent accounts. The second reading of the ordinance and potential adoption will be held at the next regular board meeting. So I guess the discussion is at the regular board meeting of June 8, 2021, the board considered suspending the tax liens for 2021. No action was taken by the board, who directed staff to provide additional information. I don't know if you want me to read all this word for word.
That's fine, Daryl. So So, yeah, normally the deadline would be August 31st. So we would also have our second board meeting for to have the second reading of the liens and then go ahead to submit the data to the county assessor. This year, because they changed the date to August 10th, which is our board meeting, and I will also have to send a letter to the assessor letting them know that when these dates are changed and we have board meeting, it affects the way we can get this data to them. So we will still have the second reading and ordinance for the next meeting, which is August 10th. It will have to be the first item. Staff will prepare everything based on what we decide for this meeting. And this way, if there's any changes, they will have time between 2 and 5 to send anything in. So thanks. Staff did a good job at contacting as many people as they did. The number went down significantly. And the one thing I will send to the board again is, remember, we still are in the declared emergency for COVID with a moratorium. So these delinquent arrearages cannot be turned off for non-payment, and it's all the way up till September 30th, it looks like. There is a plan that's being put in place, so people will still be required to pay that money up to that time. They will be put into some kind of plan, but that debt will be repaid. So there is no forgiveness, it still has to be repaid. And there is also bills being passed from National, which is already passed for arrearages, and one which is going through now in the state of California to provide that COVID arrearage to the districts. So the question is, do you still want to put liens on this year with the moratorium and those plans in place and suspend the liens and go ahead with it next year, because next year all these debts that are still owed would still be put on a lien. And this year we have that special option, as this will all be something we could forward to the state and the federal government for reimbursement while we still collect these debts, or go ahead with the liens. So that is the board's decision, if there's any discussion on that.
Can I just add before you go to the board discussion?
Yep.
Do we have any idea, Daryl, how many of these non-payment are actually due to COVID-related issues?
Zero. We have no
idea. Related to COVID?
No, we have no idea. No one has had any proof that COVID caused any of these things.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be directly COVID. It would be because of the COVID emergency restrictions. So basically anything from the period from when they declared the emergency to when they undeclare it will be covered under this time period.
I'm not sure. You mean reimbursed?
For arrearages, yes. Anything that's taken during the COVID-19 period emergency will be counted as arrearage.
Okay, I'm not sure I'm following you. What I'm speaking about is what's going to be reimbursed by the feds or states, or the state. Is generally the rules are that failure to pay has to be related to COVID problems. Not
the language. Yeah, we're seeing the language, and that was one of the things they were disputing. For the feds, that is not a specific requirement
right now, but that, I don't know if that's going to hold, is my point.
Well, the bill has passed from the feds, and the feds, it's not a requirement in the federal one. So the California one has not passed, so we don't know what the language is on that.
Yeah, I don't think the Fed says that they're going to give dollars to the local districts to pay back the past bills. That's not my understanding of the federal bill, but I just want to caution that there's going to be, you know, you're not going to just get a chunk of money to pay all this back billing. It's correct. Not that simple.
And the arrearage amount was, what is it listed at here? 58,000?
58,000.
That's what it was at the time of this report.
And it's going down. So what was it when we initially started? We were at 180, something like that?
176,000.
And now we're down to 58. So we are continuing to contact customers and make payments. So we are dropping it down. And there are still some customers out there who said they haven't gotten an email or contact from the district, so I've told them to try to get in touch with staff as well. So, I mean, that's all we can do is try to improve that contact to get as many people contacted as possible.
And if I can, I wanted to ask Barbara a question. I looked in the past, you know, few years, and typically the ordinance, even though it may not be the second reading, but typically it's signed after this meeting, so it's ready to go. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we're going to get it signed after the next meeting, if it's a Zoom meeting, because we have to have it to the county within hours, which is pretty scary on our part, because that leaves no room for error. Usually we submit it early, and they look through it and let us know any errors, and they can all be resolved ahead of that deadline.
Yeah, the only thing you could do is, I mean, signing just the signature is what you're worried about?
Yeah, to have a signed ordinance that we can, as part of the process, because we have to give them certain documentation and certification.
Okay. Yeah, the only way you could do that is if President Saunders goes in.
Yeah, I'll have to go into the office if we're going to change anything, but...
Daryl, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Don't we also need the resolution signed so we can post it in the newspaper, which is required after this meeting?
You mean the ordinance?
The ordinance, excuse me.
Is it with the first reading or the second reading?
We have to post it in the newspaper after the first reading.
Right. And at least 5 days before the second reading.
Has to be posted again, but it has to be in order to publish. You're correct. You are correct, Gloria. It has to be published, not just posted. And that requires, signatures. So it needs to be signed today or tomorrow as well in order to get it out to the paper for publication. Mm-hmm.
So that would be the board's decision. If you are signing this as well, then all of these names will be published in the paper. For discussion. Director Thornbrough?
Ready to vote on what we were going to do with these liens?
We could have a discussion on what you want to do. This is the time.
I thought we had this discussion already.
No, I'm seeing if this is what you want to do go forward, then this is what you were doing, just making it clear.
Can you define the options? If we vote one way, can you?
The options are to agree to the ordinance as written, which means we waive the first reading. We send these names to the assessor and the paper for publishing. Then we will continue for the next month to contact and try and get any more payment plans done to reduce that list. And then that list would, the final list would be sent to the county assessor on August 10th, which is the day of our board meeting. The other option is if we want to suspend liens this year, then we would vote to suspend liens and we would put them in a COVID emergency repayment plan, and that would be another option to make sure that gets paid. And then anything after September is going to be subject to liens for 2022.
Is it possible, maybe this is a dumb question, but is it possible if you guys do decide to approve the ordinance, removing the names of the people who have paid up to today?
And that's another option as well, yes.
So we don't put them in the paper since they actually paid.
Yes.
Yeah, the list should be updated before.
Yeah, that should be automatic. If they're paid, yeah, we will update that. Yes. So okay. We'll make sure to amend that.
And I'd like to say just a little bit, it has nothing to do with what you're talking about, but I was super impressed with the ladies in the front office because they didn't spend hours or days. This was weeks of phone calls and talking to people. And it was just, I could hear them all day long, every day doing this. And it was huge to get back over 100,000 just by making phone calls and talking to people and working with them. They did a really good job.
Director Seaman had her hand up first.
And didn't I hear, Daryl, that one of the biggest issues was you have customers that are renters that were in delinquent and the property owners didn't realize it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think that's something we're going to have to look at, where the ultimate responsible party is the property owner.
You're right.
The renter gets posted, but the property gets lien. And that's been an issue I remember with 218 and all the other things, is that there's one responsible party, and if he wants to put the duty to the other person, somehow we got to figure out how to fix that problem.
Agreed. And I know that staff got a hold of every property owner. They've all been notified now since then, so they all know what's going on. And we're also now sending, when we send out the water bills, the property owner's getting the water bill and the renter's getting the water bill, so they know what's going on. In the past, it just went to the renter. Now we're sending them to the property owner as well.
Director Stewart?
Daryl answered my question. I wanted to know if everybody had been notified, including the owners of the property, who are ultimately responsible.
Yes, and there were only two people that we could not get a hold of, or we couldn't prove that we got a hold of them because of, for whatever reason. So we removed them from the list because we just couldn't get a hold of them.
So then everybody else has been notified, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Right. So do we need a...
No motion yet. Director McDonald?
And just for clarification, this doesn't come up every year. This just comes up because of the COVID and...
Well, the lien issue comes up every year, and it's not something we consider suspending. This is because it's that extenuating circumstances of the moratorium specifically. Not the COVID-19 emergency. The moratorium stopped the district from being able to halt payments after 60 days of non-payment. That created a forced payment issue, which kind of inflated the number of non-payments we've seen as well to a different level. So, and as I said, it would not be forgiving these debts. These debts would still have to be paid. It would just not put a lien on this year because we still are under the proclamation of the moratorium.
And just so we're clear that, like in 2019, we were at $12,510 was the total. And the year before was, I think, less.
Right.
So this is just a huge year.
Mm-hmm. Director Stewart?
My question would be, we have the COVID thing, but the problem is that we can't shut their water off if they don't pay. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
There's a moratorium on that.
Yes.
We didn't have that in 2018-19.
No.
Right. So, in 19. You know.
So I expected that this would happen this year, and I kind of brought it up with the board that we have a moratorium, and this is going to impact the number of non-payments. So.
I wonder if it's because they don't have to pay anymore to get the water, can't pay.
See, and those are the two issues, and the state is aware of that. And however, as we said, the bills are not being forgiven. It's just they will still have to be paid, but just put them in a separate payment program and it'll refund the districts for anything that is in that program and move forward next year, and any of those debts then go be placed on a lien in 2022 when the moratorium is lifted.
The only, excuse me, the only issue I seem to have with this is all those people that worked hard and paid their bills didn't get that opportunity. And then if we give these people this opportunity, it just seems like it's not fair.
Well, they still have to pay their bills. There's no.
Well, I know, but this year, I mean, to, you know, on this tax roll, I mean.
Yep.
And if they, and I was worried that if we let them off with it, are they just not going to pay their bills till next year and then have double the amount?
When we are not letting them off, we are still collecting the debts. We are just not putting a lien on. That's all I'm saying. So the debts right. will still be collected. We're doing everything. We just wouldn't be putting a lien on the house. That's the only difference. Director Stewart?
Yeah, I want to know what problem it causes that we put a lien on their house. I want to know why you think we shouldn't put a lien on their house. It doesn't force them to sell the house. It merely says, if you sell your house or move out, you're going to pay us. It's going to be paid because there's a lien on it.
Yes.
So why would we not want to put a lien on their property if they haven't paid?
Because there are programs in place to give us the money that is we're impacted for due to the COVID emergency and moratorium. That's why. That was the only reason why.
Okay, well then getting back to what our legal counsel said, are we going to have a burden of proving which one of these people are honest and just didn't take advantage of the system?
And I will go over that in our grant committee meeting, but there is... We just give a number. There is no burden of proof. We just give the impact to the district for year and amount.
Okay, well, I still get back to my question is, what harm does it do to the people to put a lien on their property?
And that would
be does it get them fired from their job, or does it cause them an illness? There is no, what harm does it do? I can't think of any, but maybe you guys can.
Well, other impacts their credit.
Oh, well, that might impact their credit, right? I don't know.
Director Thornbrough?
I got a question for Daryl. So all the people that you guys managed to contact and are working with, okay, in other words, I assume that means they're making payments or they're putting some kind of good faith effort into reducing their debt, those people are not on this list, correct?
Right. There's everybody paid in full. Everyone has paid in full except for 5 homeowners that are on a payment plan.
Okay. And are those 5 homeowners on this list?
No.
Okay. That was my question. Thanks, Daryl.
And I'll just go back to some clarification on the federal bill because I just checked on it. And that's what I recalled. Nothing in the federal COVID relief bill has a provision to pay back unpaid water bills. It has there's some opportunity to submit for, you know, COVID relief, but what you're going to be able to get is a different story. Where the utility bill comes from is through the California budget supplemented by the federal relief bill. So I'm not aware of anything in the federal dollars that says here, Georgetown, you get this pot of money to pay back these utility bills.
No, it's built in with the rescue plan, but as I said, you have to send in the information of the impact to the state, the feds, and the county. So yeah, it's not.
Yeah,
100%. The state may be 100% percentage, and they are building in. Depending on the amount of districts that apply, then they might have to do a percentage and rolling basis. So.
Right. There's nothing. I haven't seen any legislation that says here, districts, for these unpaid bills, you're going to get paid back for sure. I just want to make that clear, and especially from the feds. The feds aren't providing any relief like anything like that. So I just want to be clear on what the COVID relief bills are providing. That's all.
Director Seaman?
Okay, I got to bother you one more time. Did you, when they were making all the calls, did you guys find that you had a large quantity of the, or large number of the people that had their house, so now we can't get money back from them because now they're no longer a user?
There wasn't a large quantity, but yes, there was some like that. I would say, I don't know the number, but it's a small number. People that did sell that no longer own the home, so now it's on to the new homeowner.
Right, so that's an amount we will never get back.
Well, not until they sell their house.
Well, right, but if they've sold their house and they had a bill to us due, unless we had legal counsel put a, you know, chase them down for however amount that was, it's a lost amount, basically.
I don't know. I don't know about lost amount. It goes with the property. It's still there.
A subsequent property owner is not obligated to pay. You have right. to make sure that when the property transfers, that out of the proceeds of the sale, the liens get paid and released. I've had right. this situation come up. We can't go after the new property owner for the prior property owner's water bill or sewer bill.
But if we never put a lien on it because we've pushed it a year or whatever, or two,
I see
that's lost money.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah, you're not going to chase that. Once they've right. sold their property, they're gone. You're not going to chase them down and try to collect that
right.
money. And you
cannot right, right. I'm just saying that's lost revenue, that if we put the lien on them, then we would have that arm where when it goes through escrow, we would get payment before they get their funds released.
That's how it's supposed to happen. Now, not always does the escrow pay off the lien. So sometimes you run into some little hiccups, just like, you know, everything. But generally, yes, that's the whole purpose, is to put the lien on so that when there is any kind of real estate transaction, that it gets noticed and it gets taken care of.
I'm finally getting what Donna was saying. So if we don't lien these people and a bunch of them sell between now and next year, it's gone.
That's right.
It would be a loss, and we put it on a loss, and that would be one of our reporting. And we should actually make sure when we amend our budget to add the arrearage losses to it, because we don't have them on our budget as well.
But there's no guarantee that if we go for these grants, we're going to get the money.
Correct.
Yes or no?
Correct. And it's not.
Okay. Correct. That's the bottom line.
Yes. Director McDonald?
Yes, and before we make our vote, I'm basing my decision based on the fact that relief checks were sent out to for the basic needs to be met of people, food, shelter, water. And I would expect that these folks would prioritize their spending for this kind of purpose instead of discretionary spending for entertainment and Dish Network and things like that. So I would think that they could have, or maybe should have.
I wouldn't make assumptions on what people are spending their money on. We're just, our main concern is, what are we doing with the arrearages? How are we gonna contact them back? And will we put liens on, so.
Okay, well that's right.
Director Thornborough.
I think that Daryl and staff should be commended, because I mean, they went way above and beyond to get a hold of these people and to work with these people. This list apparently contains people that didn't want to be worked with. They just don't want to pay the bill. So I say we just, you know, put the liens on. Like Jerry said, you know, it's not going to, cause them harm, other than I could see maybe a hit on their credit if they're trying to finance something. But, you know, the district went way above and beyond to try to work with these people and get this taken care of. This list is basically a list of people that know they're going to get a lien on their property, and they're not willing to do anything to put a stop to it. So I say, let's move on, let's put beans on, and get moving. That's my opinion.
That's my opinion.
Any other director comment? Seeing none, we'll go to public comments. Mr. Dow?
Go ahead, Cherie.
Okay, this is Cherie. I think we need a serious review of the customer service policy concerning the liens and delinquent accounts, because technically the accounts receivable should have been calling over a year ago when they first come up being delinquent. Then you'd end up with just a few accounts that you would be calling periodically. Plus, you're going to be in their face like six times in the year. So they might want to just get rid of you making phone calls and pay their bills. So I think part of it is district policy, and especially with the landlords. I knew the landlords were not getting notified. And just there's two or three on there that I know personally that have not gotten notified. And then also a friend of mine who was on her water bill, she never received a phone call. And I contacted her last week and told her it was on the thing. And so I think she paid it today or yesterday or today. So we need a serious policy review on our customer service. And I did not receive that in my billing, whatever that little thing was. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Did you see anyone's hands up, Gloria? Okay, and then I will just add, my comments are based on the fact of a moratorium. I am not promoting resolving or forgiving anyone's debt. Just the lien issue was my only concerns with a moratorium. Moving forward, remember the options of not printing the list with the amended updates as well. Okay, I will, if anyone is willing to put up a motion.
I'll put up a motion that we accept ordinance, or leave ordinance 2021-01 as it is.
I second it.
I will ask that we entertain the amendment to have the updated list with the people that have been contacted and agreed to a payment plan or have paid, so their names be removed off the list that may be on it now.
I agree with that.
Well, do we have to make an amendment on that? Isn't that the standard?
Yes, you made a motion to accept the ordinance as is, so that's why I added that.
So when they pay their bill, they come off the list and remove your lien.
But the ordinance as is says everybody's name who is on here goes into paper, and I'm amending it because there are people who have paid who can be removed from this list now.
Yes. So
that's my amendment, if there is a second to that.
I second it.
I'll second it.
So public comment for Mr. Dowd.
Cherie, when is the last day that somebody can pay to get off the list? The 9th?
That would be up to staff when they can deal with that. So it's staff.
We're shooting for close to the August meeting, but we have to have enough time to be able to process it and get the list correct and up to date and accurate so we can get it to the county. So it's going to be before the August meeting. You know, I'd like to... Yeah, I was thinking like August 1st to give us, what is the August meeting on?
The 10th.
So that gives us a week and a half to try to get the list dialed in and together so we can get it to the county.
We need to publish.
In the paper?
It has to be published 5 days before the August 10th meeting. And because our newspaper is published weekly, we have a challenging deadline to meet.
Right.
So it'll be dependent on that deadline to get it on the issue of the newspaper that provides for the 5 day before the second reading.
Yeah. Well, because then some people could pay after that, but they'll still be on the published list.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comments? Okay, the vote is to vote on the amendment to update the list with those customers who are contacted and have a payment plan or paid that are on this list already. Can we get a roll call vote for that, Gloria?
May I have the name of the director who seconded that amended motion? McDonald? Okay, got it.
I have a question because you just said something opposite of what I was told when I asked my question. The people that are making payments are not on this list.
No, there are people who are on this list who were contacted who are now making payments or paid, and we will take them off this list as it is now, as of today.
Okay, there you go.
That's what the amendment is for.
Okay, got it.
To update the list as of today. Can we get a roll call vote, please, Gloria?
Director Thornborough?
Aye.
Director McDonald?
Aye.
Director Seaman?
Aye.
Director Stewart?
Aye.
Director Saunders?
Aye. The motion passes. And now we will vote on the amendment to accept the ordinance for putting the liens on for the annual assessment and district levies, with the amendment that we will update the list for the people that have been contacted up to today. Is that correct?
I'm confused. I'm sorry.
Oh, we just made the amendment to update the list for those that we contacted already who are still on this list to remove them from it.
That's not an agenda item, is it?
Yeah, you said there were people that we contacted who's on this list already?
Only people that haven't paid are on this list. About 10 customers are on this list that are paid in full. Within the last week, they paid in full. Right. So there's roughly 10 customers that need to come off of this list.
That's what the amendment was for, to update the list for the people that have paid.
Yeah.
Okay, a point of clarification, please. So the motion was by Director Stewart to introduce ordinance 2021-01 as presented, yes. Seconded by Director McDonald. There was no vote. Director Saunders, there was no vote on that original motion.
Correct.
Director Saunders offered amendment to that motion to require that the list be updated with those who were contacted after the ordinance was prepared and agreed to a payment plan or have paid.
Correct.
Seconded by Director McDonald.
Correct.
Now, I just took a roll call vote.
That was for the amendment. So now we have to add to the first part of it. So now the full vote is for the ordinance with the amendment. So the
vote
is to accept the ordinance plus updating the list with those that have paid or have been contacted. And Director Stewart made that motion. And who was the second then?
Director McDonald.
Okay, so if we can have a roll call vote on that.
Director Thornborough.
Aye again.
Director McDonald.
Aye again.
Director Seaman.
Aye.
Director Stewart.
Aye.
Director Saunders.
Nay. And as I said, we're in a moratorium, so that's why I'm holding off on liens until the moratorium gets ended. Okay, the motion passes. 4-1. Oof. Okay, the next item is HC, consider amending the contract with LSL, Lance, Soil, and Lungham for the annual audit.
This is a pretty basic item. As everybody knows, I believe the board knows that our contracts had ended. We didn't have one in auditor and contract, and it's almost that time for them to get started. So this year, we would just like to amend the contract to allow them to do one more audit this year before we probably go out to bid, you know, when Adam Coyne starts to get possibly a new auditor for the next few years.
I'll just add best practices with auditors is pretty much average 3 to 5 years with auditors before switching them out. So this will be the fourth year, and we will most likely be going out for a new RFP after this. They have been very good auditors since I've been here and on the finance committee. So if there are any other director comments? Seeing none, any questions from public comments? No public comments. Is there a motion to accept the professional service agreement with LSL for the annual audit?
So moved.
Moved by Director Thornborough.
I'll second.
Second by Director Stewart. Can I have a roll call, please vote, Gloria?
Director Thornborough.
Aye.
Director McDonald.
Aye.
Director Seaman.
Aye.
Director Stewart.
Aye.
Director Saunders.
Aye. The motion passes. The professional service agreement is accepted.
That'll be the quickest agenda item we've ever done. Well,
the hard ones are behind us. It gets a little easier now. Item 8D, consider approving the vendor agreement with Pace Supply. This is on,
okay, the Pace Supply, they've been our supplier for the last few years because we had agreement with them and it has ended now. So I went out to bid. I put an RFP out and went out to bid. It went out March 31st. All the bids were in on April, May. Yeah, it's in here somewhere. Sorry, I got caught up in the last one. We received all the bids. I can't see the date in front of me for some reason.
It was by April 30th.
April 30th. There we go. Thank you. And we got bids from Iconics, Ferguson, and Pace Supply. And when we do all the like-for-like parts on those bids, you can see the totals there on the second page. Pace Supply came out the cheapest for those parts. So we're trying to go with another contract that's renewable 2 times with Pace Supply. If I wasn't clear, these are just for all the distribution parts and supplies that we buy, pipes, fittings, air release valves, anything we need for the distribution system.
Any comments?
No, I have none.
Director Seaman?
So this is an estimate of what you expect to spend for the year, or is this you give them a blanket list of things and go apples, apples, apples for these different vendors and say, give me, so the contract is to them for a kind of an unlimited amount of money?
$75,000 in the contract, right.
Okay.
Yep, you're exactly right. It's about all of these supplies probably and more. You know, but we gave them a huge list of things that we typically buy, and apples for apples, Pace came out the cheapest. So we wanted to get a contract going with them to not exceed $75,000 per year.
So just to clarify, it's not blanket, it's up to $75,000.
Yeah, you pay for what you use, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pay for what you purchase, yeah. The parts you do. Supplies.
Director Thornborough?
Yeah, Daryl, this is the last time we did the RFPs for it, you said there was one vendor that wasn't very reliable, that sort of thing. That wasn't Pace, right?
It is Pace. And I think I told you I was working with them. I know. I've talked to Pace since then, and they have guaranteed they're going to give us a person that will be our person, and we will talk to nobody else but this person when ordering, and he or she is going to be in charge of making sure that we get everything that we order. Part of the problem is COVID. We had to order a couple of valves recently, and we had to get them through Ferguson for $21,000, and we still haven't gotten those parts because of COVID. And we ordered those about a month ago. COVID is not fun for trying to receive supplies, but I'm trying to hold Pace more accountable this contract by working with them and making sure that we're taken care of.
Okay.
And also, I'd like to say that in the contract, it states that if they're not taking care of us, I can come back to you guys next year and say, I want to end this contract. Even though it's renewable for 3 years, let's not renew it and let's get somebody else.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Daryl.
Any other director comments? Seeing none, public comments. Mr. Dow?
Go ahead, Cherie.
No, Cherie. How much did we spend with them this last fiscal year? Did we make up to the $75,000?
Last year was at $65,000, and we went over.
That's what the bid was last year?
Correct.
Okay. Why didn't you just do it for 1 year and just renew it in a year?
We could, but we are going to renew it each year, but the pain for me is I just have to go out to bid every year, and it's just easier to not have to go out to bid.
So if you want to, you can just cancel it next year.
Yes, that's correct.
Right. Thank you.
Any other public comments? Anyone showing up on the phone, Gloria?
No, I don't see any.
Okay, seeing none, bring it back to the board to entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion, we accept this.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Director Stewart. Roll call vote, please, Gloria.
Director Thornbrough.
Aye.
Director McDonald.
Aye.
Director Seaman.
Aye.
Director Stewart.
Aye.
Director Saunders.
Aye. The motion passes.
Thank you.
Item 8E, receive a status report on the Low Income Assistance Program.
So many, I keep forgetting how many there were. Okay. Low Rate Assistance Program. I won't go into everything, but I highlighted a few areas on here I'd read. During the December 13th, 2018 meeting, staff provided board requested information establishing a district policy for low rate assistance for our treated water customers. The board adopted resolution 2018-04 on March 13th of 2018 to approve the low rate assistance policy, authorizing the use of ad valorem and establishing the process for applying for and renewing for the low rate assistance benefits. We've established eligibility requirements that people have to submit when they want to be on it. During the first year of the program, $35,000 was budgeted for the program. The program provides for a 25% discount on the base rate for treated water eligible customers. The board has budgeted $35,000 for each subsequent fiscal year. I don't know if I should just keep reading or if you have enough information, but there was unique circumstances this year with COVID. I'll kind of ad lib for a moment. Letters were sent out late. We were supposed to send them out earlier and could use all kinds of excuses, but bottom line, our management analyst quit. We have new staff. Thank goodness it went out at all. It did go out late, but because it went out late, we're still accepting them. And actually there's like 42 people from last year that we're still getting a hold of, or we've got a hold of, but haven't heard back. And I was talking to staff today. We're going to call all 42 of those people this week again to say, you know, hey, do you still want to be on this program? You know, you need to submit your information. We're going extra time because it went out late.
Yep.
We want to give people, you know, some time. It's not their fault.
Yep. And before I get to the board comments, I brought this on the agenda because of that very reason. There's a policy that we're supposed to accept these, have the mailings out by June 1st, and they went out by June 15th, and we asked for the request back by June 30th, and there's really no date to take the request back. And once again, it's a COVID year, we're on the moratorium. We don't want to move people from the low income assistance plan to a liens. So one of my directions that I would recommend to staff with, if the board approves, is that we make sure that we accept everyone who wants to be on the low income assistance program that responds back and not remove anybody this year. All right, Director Thornbrough, your comments?
Are we using a full $35,000 each year?
No.
No, we don't.
How much do we use?
About $15,000, I think, was the most we used.
Oh, I'm glad you knew. I don't know.
How much?
It's usually around $15,000 is the most we use. So we still can increase our customer outreach on this. And basically because it's tied in with the PG&E CARES, there's probably going to be a set amount of people that will qualify for this. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Now, the other thing to remember is anybody who's new and is applying, it's rolling, so there is no requirement for a new applicant. So there is no deadline. This just applies for renewing individuals. Any other director's comments? Okay, seeing none, I will take public comments.
Cherie.
Yeah, it's just for a matter of fact that no letters were sent out in 2019 or 2020. So this is the first time anybody's had to renew their application because nothing went out prior. So this is another customer service issue, I think, that needs to, like, you know, get in the policies, when these are going out, when they're coming back, all the specifics, and actually call the customers. So there were no letters sent out.
This is one time I must agree with Cherie. I don't know why they didn't go out, but they didn't. And I agree. They went out this year, and that should happen every year. And hopefully we can actually keep staff here long enough so people that work here know when to do these things. But you're right.
New people coming in that didn't get trained properly, and then they didn't train their new person because you've had staff turnover for the last 2 or 3 years in the office.
Exactly.
Is there a possibility of increasing the amount since they're not using the $35,000? Increase to 25%, possibly?
No, because there's the chance that more people will come on, and I wouldn't increase our rates more than any of the other utilities are.
Right. No, it says there's a limit that it, you know, once it hits the $35,000, you're not paying any more. There's no more applicants.
Yeah, we staff reviews that, and they would bring that recommendation to the board. That's why the June 30th deadline is built in there. And that's
right.
This is one of the policies that I will be looking at, and I believe Director Seaman is going to be on the administrative board policy group with me, one of the policies of the district that we have to kind of have put in place, and there's timelines and built-in triggers, because that's a lot of the stuff that we keep coming up. We're missing those triggers just because when one person does it all the time, we lose them. This is what happens. So we'll build up our policy manual, our procedure manual, and all of these triggers come in, because there's some that require board approval, and it never makes it to us. So you are correct. Okay. Thank you.
And also, an application has never been put, that I know of, put out in, and I've requested it, and I know Cindy requested it, to go into a bill, maybe once a year, an application for the people, especially the elderly people who aren't on the internet or don't know anything about it. They're not really notified of it. So also maybe send an application out once a year, maybe. Hmm.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Okay, seeing none, I will bring this back to the board. So the only thing that I would do is, unless anyone disagrees, is for staff direction to continue to take all of those that continue to want to be on this program and not take any off, if they choose not to be.
I agree.
Okay. Well, they reapply every year, right?
Yes, but we have to send, the applications are supposed to go out June 1st. This year it went out June 15th.
Okay, I understand that.
June 30th, which is 15 days, so we want to let people make sure that they have the ability to reapply if they want to.
I understand.
Okay. And I don't think, do we need a vote on this? Because this was just.
I don't know what we do. I think we need to
vote on this. All right. moves us to our next one, the most important item on our agenda. Item 8F, consider extending the professional service agreement with Gloria Omania for 6 months.
I'm going back into retirement.
We're going to need to discuss this for quite a while.
Yeah, I think this is going to take a long time to discuss.
Well, clearly, she's crazy. She's going to do another 6 months.
Question her sanity.
I have bonded with you guys. I enjoy working with all of you.
Really? Oh,
what do we need to do? Resolution for that?
So, there was something we wanted to discuss. I mean, also in addition to this, so some things to kind of about Gloria to consider putting in moving forward. So one thing is an intern, someone who can, especially during the summer months, get someone either from high school or college who is interested in government to kind of work with a board clerk and Director Seaman.
Wait a minute. That was mine.
Yep, that was what I'm getting to.
You stole my thunder.
I'm getting to it. So this is one of the things that Director Seaman brought up, and we will have her discuss that. The other thing is also to talk about assembly of the board packages and also the training of the Granicus and probably having someone else be able to operate that system. So now I will turn it over to Director Seaman to talk for her about the internship?
All I'm gonna do is give you a quick brief on this, is that I'm gonna be working with Gloria, and I guess Adam, since he's the new GM coming in, and see about getting the information pulled together, how we're gonna present it and roll it out to the public. You know, I'm a real advocate of trying to get somebody ear and ear that wants to become a part of this group. I know, don't go there, Daryl. But I think it's a good thing. You know, we have such an expert to train this person. So I think maybe like at the next meeting, we'll give a whole rundown of everything, if that sounds good to you.
Thank you, Director Seaman. Any other directors have comments?
Be careful, Mike.
Seeing none, public comments? Seeing none, well, yep, Gloria is a valuable asset to the district ever since I've been on the finance committee and all of the extra things that she is able to do, like whenever we get out of COVID, when we could have our staff appreciation probably picnic for as one of our programmed events for our anniversary event. So things like that that we can get done, and her work with the opening ceremony of Sweetwater Treatment Plant and all of the RFPs and grants that she's been processing and able to have our district continue to receive money. So all in addition to her significant work with having to deal with me and getting these agendas out and all of the stuff that we need to do to try and get all of the information out for our customers and the public, plus the district staff's needs. So we thank you so much to be able to stay on longer with us, and you're quite valued, and we will miss you when you go.
Oh, thank you for those generous comments, but you know, at my age, I'm just happy that I can kind of keep up with Director Saunders and Daryl Creeks. And now I'm going to have to figure out if I can keep up with Adam Cohen. We'll see if I make it through the 6 months.
I think there needs to be an amendment on here. No more traveling for you.
Okay, with that, is there a motion?
I make the motion, we keep her.
So the motion's made to extend Gloria's professional service agreement.
I'll second it.
Isn't that what I said?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. I second the motion.
Just clarifying it, and Director McDonald beat Director Seaman in.
Yeah.
Roll call vote, please, Gloria.
Sure. Director Thornbrough.
Aye.
Director McDonald.
Aye.
Director Seaman.
Aye.
Director Stewart.
Aye.
Aye.
Director Saunders.
Aye. The motion passes. Thank you. And
does that include resolution?
Yes.
Okay.
That means we don't have to bring Donna and Mitch and Jerry in to do the board work. Thanks so much. Okay, item 8G, receive an update on our drought conditions. So this is the one where we'll be accepting public comments afterwards on this update. So if staff wants to start off, and then I have some information too from the state.
Okay. At the request of President Saunders, the staff report provides an update on the drought conditions. On April 21st, 2021, the state of California issued a state of emergency proclamation outlined in the state's preliminary response to drought conditions throughout California. The state has not directed us to curtail water use yet. I'll add yet on there. The 2020 Urban Water Management Plan and the Water Shortage Contingency Plan, completed June 2020, outlines the district's decision-making procedures and response actions in response to water supply conditions. The district's decision-making occurs during the second week of April. On April 13, 2021, the Board of Directors declared a normal water year based on the Stumpy Meadows Reservoir shortage, which at the time was approximately 18,038 acre feet. The district's forecasting tool executed on April 6th, at most conservative projection scenario, anticipated that Stumpy Meadows capacity would be at 10,429 at the end of the water year, which is September 30th. And it was just done again on July 2nd, and now it's saying that it will be at 10,800 acre feet at the end of the water year on September 30th. And the results are included in the attachment one and are posted on the district website. Stumpy Meadows Reservoir is currently at 75. It's actually at 76. I checked it right before the meeting. The current outlook on Stumpy Meadows Reservoir capacity is slightly better than during the second week of April. District staff continue to monitor the state drought declarations that may impact the district's water supply. And if you want to talk, President Saunders?
Yep. Gloria, if you want to bring up those documents.
Okay. The executive order is the first document you want up?
Yeah. So basically, we've been under executive orders from which was passed in July 8 and 10, 21, and the governor added 9 new counties to the drought emergency. El Dorado County was in the first declaration back in April. And if we could keep going down to where he gives his recommendations. So the governor recommended that Californians voluntarily reduce their water use by 15% from their 2020 levels. And then there's some guidelines to follow for irrigation and outdoor use and other things. I've been going to the state meetings, and one of the things that we made clear when we were dealing with the county drought agreements is that if a district has a urban water management plan, which meets the 6 steps that the DWR requires, then the districts are able to follow their own urban water management plan to supersede what the state recommends. And the proclamation is basically the same as the executive order. So he gave the proclamation and the declaration. So basically, as Daryl said, Stumpy, this is one of the 6 lowest years of Stumpy. We started out with a normal irrigation year. And as the year goes, we can continue to monitor to see if we want to do any curtailment. We heard from public, and we'll hear from public again. And my recommendation at this time would be to look at starting to send out the communications to our customers, letting them know that, yes, we're in an emergency drought year, and to start voluntarily conserving. And probably just put out, maybe decide on putting out the governor's comment, or if we wanted to go with our own percentage. So those are the things we can discuss. All right, we can probably take this down. Let's put up the proclamation since I we'll be adding it anyway so we can show it. And the proclamation is basically the same, so I don't know why he had a proclamation as a resolution too. So, and the proclamation basically states the same thing as his executive order.
Are you all speed readers?
Okay.
Yep.
Looks good to me.
Yep. So, all right. So, any director comments? Director Thornborough?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Daryl, but the last time we asked for volunteer conservation, that took a heck of a hit to our revenue, didn't it?
Yes, we did. That was in 2015. And it was really pretty necessary that year because that's the year we got down to 8,000 acre feet in the lake. Right. We kind of didn't have a choice. And at that time, the Water Resources Control Board had actually sent us an order. We had to conserve. And if it was a huge, it was a number. It was like 29% on average. It wasn't per customer. It was on average.
We exceeded that by a lot, didn't we? What they told us we had to do, that we exceeded by a lot.
We met and exceeded it because a lot of people took it seriously. A lot of people didn't, but the people who took it seriously did really well.
Right. I guess my point is that they're saying they want us to conserve 15%. If we put it out there that, yes, we're in a state of emergency, and we go like way above that 15%. That could be a little excessive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The problem I have with it, honestly, is we're going to be asking our treated water customers who use hardly any water to conserve water, and they're the ones that we make all our money off of. And even if they conserve, it's going to be a drop in the bucket. It's the irrigation customers that use all the water, and we're not going to be asking them to conserve.
What I would the reason that this is brought up is our urban water management plan states that we have to declare at least stage one so we can give the communications out telling people to conserve. So yes, this year we're fine. We're looking forward to next year. What happens if we don't get water in? So we don't have to give a voluntary restriction level. You can say 10%, which is less than the governor's, or we could not have a level and just put out the communication saying that we're in an emergency drought, we need to conserve and start giving out those guidelines that needs to be voted on for us to do it as a district.
Well, there are something that raises another question. So when we get this out, when we get this message out, are we not sending it to irrigation customers?
Typically you don't, just like in 2015, that's a different, there's two different things. You send out the percentage to treated water customers. And as Mr. Duarte was talking about earlier, for treated water customers, you have another option of ending the season early.
Irrigation
season early. But that would be going against our own urban water management plan this year because we aren't in those stages. This year, it's considered a normal year.
Director Seaman?
And when we were at the 4th of July, I found it very interesting that nobody offered to take that low flow equipment that we were giving. Nobody, even one person squeezed it for a while, and that was it. No one wants to even deal with it as treated water customers.
Well, one person looked at it and said, this is work. But they all said they conserve and they, you know, they do their part. So, I mean, and this is...
But nobody took anything. And that's what I found very interesting. Whenever I've worked a booth in one of my previous lives, people take everything like that, you know. Oh, this is great. We'll use this. And they'll use one thing or the other. But, you know, to save money, if nothing else. But that group, nothing.
That's a small sample of the population, but still, I agree. And this is,
they already had that stuff, maybe.
Yeah, right. And as I said, we don't have to give a percentage, but I would like to send the communiques to our customers for best practices to use water during this drought.
If you did that, would it be possible to say something like, the governor is asking us to do this, and put it on him and take it off of us?
Yeah, we could say this is the governor's emergency ordinance. This is the proclamation. However, as a district, we are allowed to follow our own urban water management plan. At this time, we have enough water to meet the demands of our district, but we do recommend, we are in a drought emergency. Here are the best practices, and we have a list of practices which are in our urban water management plan, which we give out, and it's spelled out in there.
Yeah.
I would recommend to start giving those out in exactly that thing without putting a percentage of, without any voluntary percentage we're asking at this time.
I just want to be able to have our staff, when people call in and complain, saying, it's not us, it's them.
Yep. And that's why I'd say we don't have to put a voluntary percentage on now, because we're not there yet. All right. Any other directors?
I don't have any comment on that.
Okay. Seeing none, Mr. Dowd, public comments?
Yes. Stephen Dowd, has the governor exempted any group, county, city, town, Hollywood, the governor, are they exempted?
So the way it's built in is with Department of Water Resources and State Water Resource Control Board are the enforcement hands for water. And at the meetings where we went over the county drought procedures and guidance for the state, it was made clear that urban water management plans, if they follow the six-step guidelines, can supersede what the state recommends, because the very reasons that happened in the last drought where they recommended a 29% reduction and we had available water at Stumpy, that affected the revenue, where our urban water management plan had us at a different percentage reduction. I believe it would have been I don't even think we had any at that time either. So we were able to follow our own plans. Our plans are now built in for a year plus one and plus five. So it kind of does take into effect the long-term looks at things. And as we go on, especially as the months go on and see how Stumpy progresses, then we will take into consideration anything that requires us to change, because the urban water management plan does allow us to be flexible and adapt as the situation changes.
I want to say something. All I can say is, since 2015, when the Stumpy Meadows was low, 2014 after the fire there, we've been conserving water here in this household summer, winter, spring, and fall. I got a bucket in the we fill up in the shower, and I know, but we've been conserving, and I just try to keep things green around here, and I'm sure everybody else is doing the same thing, you know. And what ticks me off is the end of that ditch, that water is just spilling and going into the ground. You know, we got to pay, and that stuff's wasting out there. I don't know what to do, but
I have a question.
Oh, Sheree's got a question. Go ahead.
Why would we even send to the customers if we're going by our urban management water plan? That's just, if we don't have to follow the state, why even mention it? They see it on the news.
Because we are in a drought and we still want to give guidance to their customers to let them know that we do not have to curtail this year. We are still fine with water, but here are some best practices so you're not wasting it.
Yeah, but it'll affect our income or whatever. If we've got our own source of water.
Well, we still want to look.
Los Angeles, San Francisco, and San Diego counties. Yep.
What?
They're exempt? No one's
exempt.
No one's exempt or?
No, he exempted, Newsom exempted those three counties from the 15%.
Wow.
Isn't that correct?
There's 46 counties involved.
Right, but he exempted those three big ones.
I don't know if they were declared an emergency, but I know the proclamation was for statewide.
Yeah, there's a difference between what counties have, are in a state of emergency versus their overall request for everyone to conserve by 15%. It's not, there's nobody singled out from that, or no territory singled out from that ask. It's an ask.
Right.
Thank you. Mr. Duarte, I know you were waiting to weigh in on this.
Or a mute.
You're muted now.
Yep, you're still there. Thank you very much. Yeah, sorry, I kind of chimed in on this earlier, but now it's the proper agenda item. I'm conservative. You know, I'd much rather lose 1 month this year in irrigation. I'm only speaking for myself as a large irrigation water user, but I would rather lose September this year than end up in a situation where we have to lose August and September again next year. And last year in the 2014-15 drought, we didn't do anything except some loosey-goosey kind of drought measures in 14. Then 15 came and we really had to cut back. And ag really, really had to work off of a short season. So I just want to give my input. It's one farmer in the whole district that I would not be opposed to cutting off September this year in order to save some water and have it there in case we get another deep drought next year.
Thank you. And that's basically why I brought this on, because we have to look forward to next year. And depending on what it looks like, this is something we could put on the agenda again. And that would be something we'd have to send out to our irrigation customers probably a couple weeks before the agenda comes up to see if that's something we want to entertain. As it is now, that was the forecasting we looked at. So what does our Daryl and Adam think about how we're looking next year for irrigation based on our forecasting?
Adam, do you want to handle that?
Yeah, so the next season's forecast, really have to wait till later in the year to get that. It only projects out so far, so you don't really have that yet.
Probably have to wait to see how full the lake gets.
So right, yeah. Now, I mean, we're looking at starting around 10,800, and that means we need at least two or three atmospheric rivers to get us that extra 7,000. So we need some good rain in between. So that's what the irrigation customers will be looking for. And if we don't get that, that's going to impact their season. Now, the other thing to, so theirs is the one that has the significant change in usage. What would that curtailment of 1 month equal? I know we didn't ask that before, but that's probably, if we can get that figure now, if not, if that's something we could have to.
It should be fairly easy. Aren't we doing around, what is it, Adam, 4,000 something a season?
Yeah. So I think it would probably range from like 600 to 1,000 acre feet. I think it would range around that.
So I don't, with that 1,000 acre feet, I don't know if that's going to be significant if we don't get enough the next season. So that's the one thing to consider. So we will see what we're looking at by the end of this month, and that's definitely something to think of putting forward. Director Seaman?
One thing would be either the front end or back end of the season, pushing it out instead of starting when we do, push it out later. You know, because the big problem, I mean, what I'm using my irrigation for is fire prevention. Everything around my world is green. So that's why I like it in the end of the year, so I can have it push farther. The other thing is you're going to have to look at habitat. You know, all this water is running off into something. And if you're killing the habitat, then that causes the other problem where you're going to be in a violation mode with the state. So those are some items to check into also.
Director McDonald?
Or we could straddle the month, start 2 weeks late and we end 2 weeks early.
We'd wait until next year to see what the numbers look like. So, and we could look at the end of this month to see if that's something we want to address in August. So I'll definitely be monitoring the situation. So as of now, this the ask of the board is one, we have an emergency drought, which has already been declared in El Dorado County. Our school districts have been significantly impacted. There are shortages in some counties. Some irrigation has already been asked to cut back. We are at a normal water year for irrigation and our water customers. The voluntary agreement was a voluntary ask from the governor was 15%. My recommendation is to provide, this is what the governor asked. We are still at a normal water year, but we are going to follow the stage one guidelines and send out the communications to our customers to let them know these are the best practices for using water during a drought emergency.
And just so you all know, the board members, if we make a decision to do this, I don't care. I'm for it, whatever you guys want to do. But the consequences are the phone calls that we're going to get because we sold 2,000 acre feet of water. It's all our fault.
Well, go with your original plan and blame the governor.
Well, I will. But that's not what they're going to say.
All right. But that was the two things to remember. We are in a drought emergency, and the governor has declared a 15% voluntary. Okay, is there a motion from any directors?
A motion? What kind of motion do you want?
That was a receive and file.
The motion would be to go ahead with sending out the communication to give the best practices for drought emergency.
So moved.
I'll second it.
I believe Director Thornborough seconded it. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Okay, Director Thornborough.
Aye.
Director McDonald.
Aye.
Director Seaman.
Aye.
Director Stewart.
Aye.
Director Saunders.
Aye. The motion carries. So we'll send out the communications as per stage one of our urban water management plan. And yep, we will monitor the situation. So I'll keep track of what's going on to see what we're doing next month, Mr. Duarte.
Director Seaman? I'm sorry.
And we better be dropping cookies and things by the office to keep everybody's energy up to take all this crap they're going to get.
They still have cupcakes, I would think.
No, those are all gone.
They won't be as decorated.
So the staff can go ahead and put this together, and I think I'd like to send it to the president and blind CC the board so you can all review it before it goes out.
Yes, thank you. Okay. That brings us to 9A, the public hearing, establishment of Proposition 4 appropriation limit. All right, so I will now open the public hearing. Okay.
Oh, can I make a correction before we start this?
Yes.
On this staff report, there was a number that's wrong on the first page. It says, under discussion, it says $11,687,194. That should say $1,687,000.
Okay. Even if it was, though.
Yeah.
The supervisors would have took chunk of that anyway. So yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So, what is the approach? What do you mean by being a neophyte on the board? What is appropriations? What is that? What define that for me?
So this is the tax revenue that is allocated to the district every year based on Proposition 4, which gives 1% of tax revenues to the special districts, and it is set at 1979 rates. So this would say that the appropriation for 21-22 is up to $3,109,457. That's the maximum, which is about $1.6 million less than expected due to tax revenues over the last year. Basically, what we do is we set the prop for appropriation limit, which says that we expect to receive no more than $3.1 million. We usually receive less than this, and that's added to our budget, and that's what we call the ad valorem. This is the tax revenue we receive to help fund the district.
I understand.
So this is the people that are on wells that are in the district that don't pay rates. They still pay for the infrastructure by the tax appropriation.
Right.
Okay, any other director comments? Seeing none, public comments? Seeing none, anyone on the phone, Gloria?
No. No hands up.
Yep. All right. So, as you see, we try to, this is why we do the budget and our CIP plan to maximize our tax revenues. So we all pay our taxes, and at least we have control of how they're used in our district. So we want to make sure they're used to the best of our customers' interest. All right, is there a motion?
Make a motion, we adopt the resolution.
Second.
Second.
Okay, can there be a roll call vote?
Director Thornborough.
Aye.
Director McDonald.
Aye.
Director Seaman.
Aye.
Director Stewart.
Aye.
Director Saunders.
Aye. The motion passes. And hopefully we will not be fighting with our county for money.
Yes. And Donna, you need to step up your game on the seconds.
Now, no, however, we know that.
And they give me a hard time because I'm not on that.
Couldn't help it.
But I want to say thank you, Daryl. You've done a great job today, tonight, whatever it is now.
Thank you. I very much appreciate that. I really do appreciate it. I really appreciate all the positivity of this meeting, too. I love that.
And
really
the,
means a lot.
And the pigs and the torment.
And, is there any requests for board members or board member comments?
Director? I have a question.
He didn't raise his hand.
I know. The chair will still entertain Director Stewart's comments. Go ahead, Director Stewart.
With the huck.
The past.
I just wanted to make sure on the next board meeting, board agenda, we're going to have a discussion on the intern for the district in Gloria.
Yes.
Don't forget.
Okay. In some of the meetings past, it came up that the Tyler there would be a Tyler program training session for the board.
Yes.
Anybody have any idea when that might occur?
No.
Because we're going to start getting reports based on the Tyler system pretty soon, aren't we, or are we already?
So what I will be doing is we put it off from this month, but next month we hope to have the homework that I gave you to see what kind of reports you'd like to see in the board report. And once we get that, we will come up with a custom board monthly financial report and also a custom monthly finance committee report, give that information to Tyler, and they will make that customized for us. So staff just has to put in September 2021, and it'll automatically provide us with that information. That's built into the program. So that's one of the things I'll work on to help staff and help board get the information they deal with. The next part is the Socrata system. So once that gets set up, the first thing we will do is have the board. We also have to figure out if we're going to have a board computer in the boardroom. I'm not sure how we're going to have the access to that, or if we have our own access that they can do at home. So we'll figure out how that portal works, and then we'll have the training for the board, and then also show the, when it opens up to the customers, we'll let them know how to use it.
Thank you.
Director Seaman was next.
Hey.
Didn't you raise your hand?
Already cut.
Director McDonald.
Actually, Mr. Thornborough.
All right, Director Thornborough.
Raised his hand.
Oh. All right, before Director Seaman did, I might add.
Then it'll be Director Seaman.
Are we going to have...
Go ahead.
Are we going to have a finance committee meeting?
We may have one before we start talking about the budget, but as I said, there's a whole list of things we have to bring up, which we'll get to when I talk. So we still need our strategic planning meeting. We still need our CIP meeting. So there's a bunch of things to build in as well. So, and I still have to, I don't know if Barbara wants to do it at the finance committee meeting, or if I can just show those two board members and go over the Brown Act from CSDA with them. I can probably share that with them. So,
yeah, but we've done a Brown Act presentation a few times. I would just share the CSDA. I haven't seen any issue.
Yep.
And we did that because we were running into issues.
Yeah, so I'll just do it with the two new members coming on, Marilyn and Andy, just so they're aware, and we should be fine.
Yeah, you're just going to send it to them, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's that one I took. It was the same. The Brown Act was under CSDA.
Yes. Director Seaman, you're next, then Director McDonald's. Director Seaman?
I pass to Mr. McDonald, to Director McDonald.
All right, Director McDonald.
I'll accept the pass, thanks. You were going to provide Director Thornborough and myself with some training information in September?
Yes, the SLDA stuff, so I'll send that to you.
Thank you.
I'll resend the email I sent you guys, and you'll see the date on it, and you'll be like, oh, I probably wasn't looking at this back then, but I'll resend the information to you.
Thank you.
All right, Director Seaman.
Totally missed it. She went and cut in front of Jerry. So she already did her thing.
I already did my thing.
Where were you?
Are you giving me one last hurrah? You know, because I was cut off?
All right, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Excuse me. I would like to make a motion to adjourn since we have nothing else to discuss and we're just tormenting Donna today.
Well, I already talked about the things I had to bring up. So they were the strategic planning meeting, the CIP, the signatory agreement. So those are the things we have to bring up before, and also we'll have the finance committee involved with that, and we want to do the budget amendment by October 30th. So those are the things to bring up. LAFCO-wise, I did not get elected. So I'm stuck as alternate for the end of, I think it's 2023 it ends. And that's it so far. So it was Brian Veerkamp got the 4-year spot and Tim Palmer has a 2-year spot. He ends, I believe, 2023. And that's it for election so far.
Right.
And we will accept the motion and second. All in favor to adjourn, say aye.
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 Seeing no nays, we can adjourn by acclamation. And I will see everybody next month when we welcome our new GM. And hopefully we'll have some exciting times moving forward.
That'll be great. He wants to take another month off.
Have a good evening, everyone.
Well, it's Zoom. Right. We can follow him where he goes.
Daryl, can you hang on? Daryl, can you hang on a second?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, everybody else could leave if you want. I just wanted to. two guys here that are numbers and graph oriented.
Nobody's leaving.
Wait a minute. Do I need to stop the recording? Did you adjourn?
Yeah.
Did you adjourn?
Yes. Adjourned.
Hey, Daryl.
And you still are on.